The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 614, recorded on June 17th, 2021.
Hello, welcome to the 614th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 447th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Dinser.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
So yeah, I haven't posted the previous two podcast episodes because a lot of things have been happening, and every time I begin to, something just makes them obsolete. So I'm going to post them after I post this one. It'll be like old podcasts that you never got to hear because things are just happening, but that's okay because this is the podcast that matters. This particular episode matters more than the other two do because this is us covering all of the quote-unquote E3 showcases, and the reason I'm putting that in virtual quotes, even though you probably heard the quotes without even seeing it, is that it was all virtual, and actually it really helped Microsoft, because you know how it is when people do an E3 keynote, and you have people just talking and talking about the games and just talking about the games, and it bores the hell out of everyone. Well, Microsoft said, screw it, we're just going to show a bunch of trailers, and then a couple of days later, we'll do all the talky parts, the stuff we didn't care, the stuff that would normally be in the presentation and people would be falling asleep. They just said, screw it, we're just going to put it after the E3 presentations as a footnote. And people are really into that, and I think it's a good idea, because here's the thing, it's an artifact. It used to be, you know, you'd have the press come to these conferences, and they would sit down, and companies would go through their presentation, but they'd also go through all the interviews and stuff because there's press there, and it's not being streamed, because the press is just going to write about what they saw, and they're going to take out all the boring parts. Mm-hmm. Now when they have live streams, it's like now the fans are watching this and saying, we don't care.
Yeah, and some of the hosts were trying too hard, as some people were saying. They're being like cringy, trying to make up bad jokes and weird comments that had nothing to do with anything.
So this year they just said, screw it, you know what, Microsoft, screw it, we're just going to show trailers, maybe one or two. I mean, they did have not Pete Hines, the other one, Todd Howard, yeah, they had him talk a bit, but that's because he was going to be talking about Starfield, and you know, they really didn't have any. We'll get around to that. But other than that, you know, they just quickly went through the trailers, just showed a bunch of games, and then it was a surprise. Then there was a surprise announcement like a day later saying, by the way, we're going to have an after show in which you're going to talk to the developers. And you know what? People were all for that. It's like, yeah, okay, we want more. You gave us this, and now this is the dessert. We know that this is where people are just going to be talking about their games and describing them and telling you what into them, and we're into that because now we know what to expect. We had the games, now we're just going to have the talkie parts, and the people who just want the talkie parts are going to go to the talkie parts, and the people who don't care about the talkie parts can just skip it safely. And I think that's what a lot of other... I think Microsoft and Bethesda showed that's what's going to happen from now on, because we do have streaming, and we do have people who... And now it costs nothing to have the post E3 stuff. Like, here's the afterthought. We just want to dazzle you with the games. Now here's the afterthought. If you want to watch it, go ahead. You might enjoy it. And you might see some of the games we didn't talk about. Anyways, now we're going to go into what we've been playing very quickly. The last few podcasts, I forgot to mention, I'd been playing Biomutant.
Oh, how is it?
Okay, I can tell this is made by a small team. Mm-hmm. It's visually great, but it's all surface. And I, as I was playing, it's like, oh my god, I shouldn't be bored, but I am. The combat is all the same. You have a morality system that's meh. You have combat that's meh. And you have the same Ubisoft open world, we're going to conquer this region and this region and this region. If this is a bigger team, and they put a lot more into the meat of the game, this could be a classic. Otherwise, it's one of those games that you can tell is made by a small team over a long period of time. I wanted to like it, too. But it just goes in one ear and out the other, really. It's like, okay, that was a game.
It's been very divisive, and that's kind of something. That's kind of a part of it that makes me want to see it all the more.
Here's the thing. It's beautiful, and it has great character design. It has great outfitting and stuff like that, and... But, oh God.
It lets you create the persona of your dreams.
One of the things that really irritates the hell out of me is a constant narrator who narrates everything that you're saying as your characters talk in Banjo-Kazooie talk.
Yes. And, like, I've heard of this. And, like, to give Scott a better idea, there are no subtitles in this game. So basically you have these characters that do garbled Banjo-Kazooie talk, and then the narrator butts in every time to tell you exactly what it is they just said.
It's supposed to be like a storybook way, but to me it just makes me want to slap the narrator in the face.
Because there's like a pause every time for the narrator to cut in, right?
It's just overly twee intentionally. And I'd rather just have subtitles and the jabber talk.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. I thought this was going to be a better game than that.
Well, here's the thing. If you can get past all that, if you're only into character design and the story being told, then you can get into it. It's your typical post-apocalyptic story of how not humans, because it's not Earth, but human-like humans have destroyed the world with toxic waste, and this is like 1,000 years later, all the humans are gone, and all that's left is toxic waste and these mutated animals. And it's an ecological story. And like I said, you know, the story itself, I don't mind. I mean, it's, you know, it's a standard story, but it's fine. But the thing is that the way it's presented is just... Let me give you an example. Batman Arkham Knight. The story is so stupid. It is incredibly stupid. But at least Rocksteady knows how to tell a story. They know how to tell it. Like, the way the Joker appears, the way he is just fantastic. Even though the story is mind-bogglingly stupid, the way they present the story is interesting enough that you're able to stay with it. And here, the story is interesting, but the way they present it is just repulsive. It doesn't make you want to play the game.
That's a bummer. Well, they did do, from what I understand, a toggleable option in the game to reduce the narrator. Did you check into that at all?
I didn't bother, because the other problem is that the combat is just uninspired.
Ah, that's a bummer.
And they do the old thing in which bosses are just the same, just a character, but with a lot more health. And you have to chip away, chip away, chip away. And it's like, no. And basically what I did was I found a way to exploit it and find a place where they can't touch me, but I can touch them. And just spend 15 minutes chipping away until they're dead. Mm-hmm. It's a game that needed some experience in video game development and a larger team. Someone who tell them, no, you can't do it this way because it's going to suck. Otherwise, you know, like I said, if you're into the character design and you're into the story, you might play through it. Otherwise, why bother? I also played Doug Flutie's football game, you know, the game that every Madden player holds up as saying, look, this is real football. I played it. I returned it the same day. It sucks. It is really bad. Madden may be really bad in terms of gameplay and all that stuff, but at least they have 1 billion people working on the animation, so it doesn't play like ass, too. So what have you been playing there, Scott?
I've been playing. I'm almost done with a Trials to Azure, and I play a little bit of Minecraft with my family. And I also did finish up Link's Awakening, because you know I just had stopped, you know, like short of being like the last dungeon, and just decided to finish that one off recently.
We're going to be talking about a Zelda thing later, and I'm not talking about Breath of the Wild 2 either.
No, I know. Okay.
No, I mean, Link's Awakening is not one of them, but
right.
It just reminds me, we're going to be talking about something that's Zelda-related.
Right. So it'll be interesting. So I am going to – I've gotten Disco Elysium, so I'm going to try that out, see what it's like. So
get ready for some philosophy. I haven't yet to play it, but I also know that it's all about philosophy.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of games you're about to play, like Octopath and
No, I haven't even gotten Disco Elysium yet. I just know what it's about.
Yeah.
I know that TJ's played Disco Elysium.
No, I haven't started yet, but one of my colleagues props it up as possibly one of the best story-based games that has come out in the last decade.
I'm pretty sure he's Planescape Torment fan.
Well, it's just the characters in that game and the narration and the progress and the way in which the your abilities are entirely narrative based. And I think it's interesting to have a game that you actually you don't really engage in combat in Disco Elysium. Yes. And so, abilities in the game, they're not things like you would think. There's no agility in the game. There's no you don't aim a gun, or you don't choose to bludgeon someone with a club. I mean, you might, but it's all narrative based. And all choices specifically based on the perks that you've chosen for yourself at the beginning of the game. And I think that's interesting in the fact that, it's easy to compare it to something like Planescape or Fallout or early Fallout, but it's very much its own beast. I think I have had a chance to play a little bit of it, and I see where he's going with it. I really do want to play it more, and especially on the PS5, because they expanded the voice work so that the entire game is voiced. And he said the voice acting in that game is pretty impeccable. So I definitely want to get there. That is one of the ones on my list that I want to play before the year is over.
So, what have you been playing there, TJ?
I'm trying to think if I've played anything but Guilty Gear Strive, and I can't call to mind anything that I've played besides Guilty Gear Strive.
Yeah, you've been posting a lot of, you posted some Twitter stuff, some animations, and saying this is how fighting games should be.
I love. Have I mentioned that I love this game? Have I mentioned that I think this game is one of the best games I've ever played when it comes to fighting games?
Not really. No, you haven't said a peep about it lately.
I stand by what I said. I've been exploring characters, figuring out what works, what doesn't, playing ranked mode. I am doing pretty good so far at it, and I have a main character and I have a back pocket character that I think I'm going to go ahead and focus my attentions on for competition. And it's so fun the way the characters play in that game, because every one of them is just so vastly different from one another. The guy that I play the most is literally a male geisha that uses fans as weapons. And his
That sounds like someone from ER Kung Fu.
Kind of. He has a move where if he will twirl and move forward as he twirls, and if you attack him, he'll move right past your attack and be able to attack you before you can recover.
I think I saw this. Was he shooting rays or lasers from the fans too?
He flutters it and a butterfly comes out as a projectile.
That's cool.
And if the butterfly hits anything, it floats into the air and turns into an eagle and drops on them.
He poops on them?
No, it turns into an eagle and then swoops and then rises up and then arcs back down onto them.
They should have pooped on him.
But the game is... I just love the game. Everything about it. The music, the style, the animation style, the visuals, the stages. Everything. Everything. It's so good.
So
everything I wanted it to be.
Is this... It sounds like you're saying that this is Arc System Works. Everything the Arc System Works has done has led up to this.
Everything fighting games has done has led up to this. This is like the magnum opus. I sincerely believe that, and I sincerely believe that, like, if any fighting game wants to call itself, quote-unquote, the best fighting game, they have to be at least this good. Because there's no reason for us to accept anything less than what this is just, than what Guilty Gear Strive has put up. But yeah, I'm sorry to be boring, but that's all I've been playing. I've been playing the holy hell out of that game. I'm obsessed with it. I'm probably not gonna stop being obsessed with it for a while.
Well, that's you. That's just like you know, Scott in Minecraft, really.
I'm gonna
you
fit
have
other
our favorites. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm gonna fit other things into my life eventually, but right now, like, I'm all in, like, 110% on playing this game and figuring out every trick and secret about it.
Okay. Anyways, we're going to move on to the good stuff. Now, for those who have been under a rock, as we just mentioned, E3 has just finished, and officially finished because today Microsoft did their after stream, and I'll just say, you know, here's the problem. Sony did nothing. Literally nothing.
Yep.
And from what I understand, there may be a state of play on July 5th or 7th. But it's sort of like odd that they would let Microsoft and Nintendo grab the headlines. And to be fair, Sony really hasn't done E3 since 2019 anyway. But... Yeah. I don't know, it's sort of... don't you get the feeling that they're trying to cruise on the popularity of Sony right now? Basically cruising on the PS4, really. Even though they have the PS5 now.
Yeah.
They're resting on the laurels. Yeah, I can see that.
They're getting... And what's his face? Oh, what is his name? He's getting pilloried by every Sony fan. You know his name. What?
Like, what does he do?
He's the CEO.
Jim Ryan.
Yeah, he's been getting it left and right from Sony fans because he's been saying some stupid stuff, and he's had to walk back a lot of that stupid stuff.
He continues to have one of the worst opinions in gaming about like backwards compatibility and legacy content,
and also Game Pass as well. Why would we want to sell our games cost hundreds of millions of dollars? We're not going to give it away free on a subscription pass service. Forgetting that EA has EA Pass, and Madden ain't cheap. FIFA ain't cheap. Battlefield ain't cheap. Although I don't know if that's going to be on EA Pass, but... DJ, what are you doing?
Sorry, I was moving my chair.
Oh. So, the way it was is that there was a pre-E3 Summerfest, and then a bunch of developers and publishers came out and did their shows. So, I have the list here, and we're just going to talk about what we want to talk. If there's games that you don't know, we don't have to talk about them. So, we had the Summerfest on IGN, and, of course, the game from that list that everybody was talking about was Elden Ring. So, as the Dark Souls fan in the room, TJ, what did you think of it?
I was amazed that we saw a release date. Like, this game has been kind of obscurity for ever since it was first revealed at Xbox in 2019. And nobody has known a single thing about it since. They've been very tight-lipped about it. There's been, like, some really shitty leaks about it that are just, like, crappy 360 pixel screen leaks.
Yeah.
But like, then they came out with not only, They came out with not only, like, a cinematic, they showed gameplay, and then they also showed a release date.
Yep,
and
January 21st, 2022.
And I was like, wow, that's soon. I thought this was, I thought for sure this was going to be, like, at least, like, 2022 window.
TJ, I'm shocked at you. This is From Software. They fart out these kind of games in 18 months, and they took 3 years for this one.
Yeah, but it's also George R.R. Martin, who takes forever to do anything.
He's a co-writer. He's a co-writer. He's not the writer. I wish one of them he just spat out some ideas to Hideki Miyazaki and just let Hidetaka Miyazaki run with his ideas and said, okay, that sounds fine.
I mean, I believe it. Like, this still looks very, very, very much like Miyazaki's ideas in action. If you look at the enemy design, if you look at the character design, if you look at the combat design, it still looks very, very much like a Miyazaki-styled game.
That said, what about it interests you, then, if at all? So, aside from the fact it's a new Dark Souls-type game.
So every Dark Souls and Soulsborne and for the most part, like, From Software game of this style, we'll say From Software action RPG. Every one of these has been, you can seamlessly move between places, and it's and there are places that are pretty wide open, but it's mostly corridors and arenas that make up the whole of From Software games. Like, you move through tunnels, you move through corridors, you move through castle hallways. All of it being like these corridor-esque areas that lead to either a boss or another, like, hall in which you fight different monsters. This is going to be an open world game, like fields, traveling on horseback from location to location, and that's kind of interesting because, for one, having a sort of, like, narrow river for your story to pass through. I mean, you can make choices in Dark Souls and explore different things. You can choose which route of the river you want to go down. But generally speaking, you're still contained within a river. The open world kind of allows you to make choices that you can't make in a river.
I watched that trailer as well, and I watched that whoever was just giving, like, a play-by-play of every frame and talking about how there's this one instance where there's these giant guard, or I guess wood golems, carrying a big giant stone carriage with them, and they have these spikes that are driven into their chest, and they have all these guards around them, and they move around the world, and they'll be in different locations depending on where you meet them, and the situation may change on how you, confront the carriage. I don't know. I don't even know why you're confronting them. I guess there's something you want from them in the carriage, and there's different ways to address that depending on where you find and meet them. And there were a lot of cool things I saw in this trailer, too. Like, there's a boss that, like, ties arms to him. And he has all these arms, so he has, like, 20 arms that he's fighting with.
Okay, too many arms.
Yeah. It's crazy. And then there's the... And TJ mentioned horseback, but it looked like this goat Zell kind of thing. And you can jump with it on big heights. And I don't think there's too many games that allow you to do that. I can't think of any anyways. And that looked pretty cool. So you can get some real height with that. I guess go mountain climbing just by jumping up, and if it's open world, then you can really explore over mountains and get a really good amount of distance and finding different things to explore. I like Dark Souls. It's a fun game and a fun series, and this looks really cool, especially when the guy had a sword and he just, like, did a lightsaber, like a giant lightsaber, just like, when he starts attacking. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, this game definitely wasn't lacking on style as far as, like, That's kind of one thing that the From Software folks always nail down, is they have a very distinct style about them. Most of the things, most of the creatures, like the beings and the bosses in their world, they look freaking cool if they're not outright horrifying and disgusting. And yeah, sometimes they're a mix of both.
Definitely.
And yeah, I'm happy to see this is pretty close around the corner. I'm definitely going to play the hell out of it.
Yeah, what's surprising is it's also coming to, it isn't coming to the 9th-gen systems, but it's coming to the 8th-gen systems, too.
Yes, which I'm wondering how they're going to shove.
And they're doing smart forward for both systems, too.
I mean, I guess there were a lot of people that, when they were watching this trailer, said, this looks a lot like the level of Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
Which, I could kind of see that. And so I can see why they would be able to put this game on PS4. I hope it works.
Well, here's the thing. I suspect that the 9th generation versions are going to be the 8th generation versions with 4K 60 frames per second. I think the only difference is that it's going to be... it's the same game, just you know, with better resolution and frame rate. I don't think they're specially made for the 9th gen games.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Because here's the thing. Actually, they did make an announcement. There's actually going to be Xbox Series X's on the shelves at GameStop. I don't know how long it's going to happen, but I heard it. But it's still hard to get a 9th generation system. So they're probably, you know, they're making sure that they make their bank. Want to talk about Back for Blood?
Yeah, okay.
So this is Left 4 Dead 3, and I'm happy to see it.
Yeah, so PvP mode, right? That was one of the things that they showed this time, right?
Yeah, I mean, they had that in Left 4 Dead, didn't they?
They did. It was kind of like you could take on the role of the special zombies.
But I think they've made it so that you can also take the role of director, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm interested to see how that plays out. I'm a little cautious on Turtle Rock.
You're still burned by Evolve, aren't you?
Yeah, they have a balance problem.
Well, here's the thing. The balance problem wasn't so bad in Left 4 Dead. And also... we now have games that do that, that they probably could take inspiration from, namely Friday the 13th and Dead by Daylight, because they're doing what Evolve wanted to do.
I hope they figure it out. But, yeah, other than that, like, I'm little by little, they're winning me over on that whole card system. That was one of the things I was most curious about and also most perturbed by while I was looking at this game. But the way that they've described the card system, the way that they've implemented it, looks fun and good.
So, now, I've only played one of the series, Tales of Vesperia. So, Scott, are you looking forward to Tales of Arise?
I don't think I know enough about that one, but I know it's a JRPG. I know a lot of people have actually been talking about it, both positive and negative
things. Wait a minute. You haven't gotten into the Tales of series?
No, I've been busy with Trials. And from the looks of it, there's going to be other games coming that are going to take my attention.
How about you, Scott? TJ, do you play the Tales of games?
I haven't played a Tales of game since Tales of Destiny 2. So I don't
really.
Like, it's a blind spot for me. I like what it does. Like, it reminds me of Star Ocean, but I just haven't had a chance to get into it for a while.
I mean, it does look nice, from what I can see. So it may be a good game. I just don't know yet.
Wow, it's like neither of you have played Dragon Quest.
it is definitely a blind spot for me. Like, I know that people that this is one of the first Tales of games in a long time too. So a lot of people were super excited for this.
Oh yeah, I think it was because of that disaster. What was it? Tales of something with a Z in it.
Zestiria.
Yeah, that was such a disaster that just turned people off Tales of for a bit. Or was it the Tales of Vesperia badly botched remake? I know that something happened that really turned people off Tales of for a while.
I'm not sure. I know there's Vesperia and was it Vesperia? Or I don't know. It just I have not played many of them. I played some Tales of Symphonia.
Oh, everybody's played Tales of Symphonia. That's like saying I played The Legend of Zelda.
Not everybody's played Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, that's not true.
Yeah, that's plenty true. There's plenty of people who haven't played it.
Under the age of 10.
So, yeah, I just haven't played too many of the Tales games to really judge. And it's just a lot of stuff coming, and it's hard to want to play all of it. I just don't have that kind of time. You know, that's the problem.
TJ, anything from the Summerfest pre-E3 games that you want to talk about?
Elden Ring was kind of the biggest, coolest thing that I think was that happened there.
I was happily surprised by Two Point Campus, and I was told later on that the developers actually have a Two Point franchise that they're doing. So they have Two Point Hospital, now they have Two Point Campus, and they're going to keep on iterating on that.
Two Point Campus is always really smart, or Two Point has been really smart and funny.
I did see some games. I guess they were pre-E3 as well. I saw Core Keeper looked really good.
The list is right there, Scott.
I didn't think it was on there. Sorry.
No, the list is there. You may have seen it in different... Escape from Tarkov has been in development for ages now. I mean, when was the first time I remember Age of Tarkov? I think it was like 2012? 2013?
Tunic finally got a new demo.
That's TJ's favorite game that hasn't come out yet.
It looks fun. That new demo looks fun, too. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. But Oh, here's the big thing that came out of Summer Game Fest. I'm sorry. I just got really excited. Metal Slug Tactics.
Metal Slug Tactics. Yeah, so it's the Tactics version of Metal Slug, and I forgot to list that for some reason. I think I put it down somewhere
Metal
else.
Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yep.
And it's like done. Like it's being.
It's about to come out. Yeah.
It's being done by .eb, and it's got the exact style. They nailed down the Metal Slug style as far as like the animation and the end game look goes. They've got all four of the characters from like the Metal Slug games are returning. They do different things. You're gonna have the vehicles. They can do team up attacks. Elevation matters. We saw Marco climbing on the top of a building and throwing a grenade across to another top of a building. We saw a plane fly through and drop a bomb on a bridge, and the bridge collapsed and did damage to characters that were underneath the bridge. This game looks ridiculously good. I loved it. That was maybe my favorite surprise of some Game Fest.
So your favorite surprise wasn't the Fall Guys Nier Automata crossover?
No, not quite.
Yeah, talk about crossovers. They had that, we're going to talk about it later, but Nintendo had that crossover between Tekken and Super Smash Brothers. You want a strange crossover, that's one of them.
Yes.
They added that one dude in?
Yeah, and he's also going to appear in Super Smash as well. So, let's move on to Ubisoft Forward. And, TJ, you probably know this better than me, but I heard a lot of groans coming about Rainbow Six Extraction. Because it's been in development for a long time, and people just don't trust it.
There's a lot of things that are interesting about this game. For one thing, it doesn't look any better than... It's based on Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah.
It doesn't look any better than Rainbow Six Siege. Like, they've had a long time to make this game, and it looks the exact same quality.
Is this the one where they're shooting black sludge away?
Yes.
Yeah, so what was it called again? Rainbow Six Rainbow Six Infection or Plague?
It was
originally
called Rainbow Six Quarantine, which is why everybody was like, fuck you.
No, but that was long before COVID-19, just so you know.
Yeah, but like everybody got super annoyed at them for keeping that title throughout the last year.
Really? They didn't change the name?
Not until just before E3.
Wow.
But the game looks like it could be okay, because they're gonna be bringing back Rainbow Six characters.
Here's the thing. You know what people want? People want Rainbow Six Vegas 3. They don't want Rainbow Six Extraction.
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, they're bringing back Rainbow Six Siege characters to be playable in this game. You're going to have characters that are familiar to that cast. Similarly...
Don't they have Soap and the other characters from Rainbow Six Vegas, too?
Not that I know of. But, I think you're thinking of Call of Duty. Soap was from Call of Duty.
Oh, right, no. Who was the guy from Rainbow Six? They always get these weird names.
The ones that they showed during the show were Sledge.
No.
Sledge was in...
No. The Rainbow Six Vegas characters... Let's see. Because I know...
Ryan or something?
No. He has a weird-ass name.
Okay.
All of them have weird-ass names, actually.
In any case, this game is going to be a question mark for me for a while until I can actually see people play it.
Yeah. Oh, Ding Chavez. Yeah, that was his weird ass name. Ding.
Ding.
Okay. Ding. Ding. Let's talk about Far Cry 6. And here's the thing. It looks really, really, really good. But I've been burned before by Far Cry.
Yeah.
They make games look really, really, really good, and then when you play it, it's like, oh, the same old crap again. I mean, remember Far Cry 5? You know, you saw all these things that your character could do, and when you're actually doing it, it's like, oh, it's just like, you know, pressing a button for something. I want to believe in Far Cry 6. I just don't know if I can. I will say Giancarlo Esposito is a great actor, and he makes the villain look interesting.
Yes, he does.
Oh yeah, he does a great job.
What did you think of the DLC announcement in which you'll be able to play as the villains from Far Cry 3, 4, and 5?
I was more interested in the fact that they're bundling Blood Dragon.
Ah.
I've never played Blood Dragon. I want to get a chance to play that.
Fair enough. Yeah, a lot of people love that. It's like I think a lot of people loved Blood Dragon more than they loved Far Cry 3.
Yeah, I mean it has Michael Biehn's voice in it. What do you expect? One thing I just did the groan for was Mary vs. Rabbit: Sparks of Hope. I know Ubisoft and Nintendo think it's cute. I think it's just irritating.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Look, the rabbits are now stars. I don't care. You know, if they had a game in which you could shoot Ewoks and rabbits, I'd be perfectly happy.
I'm okay with the game existing. It's a fun little surprise, and... Well, I guess the first one was a surprise, not so much this one.
It's XCOM for babies.
It's an interesting... It's an interesting thing in the fact that, like... Nobody would have expected Mario and the Rabbids to get together in a game and then that game somehow work.
Are you kidding?
It works.
You better have Olympics.
It does work, though.
It's okay, Jonah, for not every game to appeal to you.
You see, here's the thing. I knew you were going to say that, Scott. I knew you were going to say those exact words. And let me put it this way. I don't know who Mario and Rabbids appeals to over the age of 9.
I guess it appeals to a younger audience or people that...
Yeah, what younger audience is going to play XCOM?
I'm sure there's plenty of kids who are going to play XCOM.
I don't know. It offends my brain space.
I know a lot of people who loved that first game, and they were excited to see this.
Yeah, and I don't want to meet any of them.
That's fine. But they exist.
Okay, here's a question for you. Does anybody care about Avatar anymore?
No, I never did. Especially because Avatar is Last Airbender, not that Blue Smurfs Last Samurai.
No, I'm talking about the Blue Smurfs Avatar. Does anybody care about that anymore?
No, I don't.
Like,
I know that Avatar 2 and 3 are supposed to be coming out someday, but is anybody going to go see it?
I don't know.
I don't know
when the right time would have been to rep this game.
I mean, but
there was an Avatar 3D game, but that was like 10 years ago.
People went to see the Star Wars movies, even though there were decades between each trilogy. And
okay, stop. Scott, here's the thing. The Empire Strikes Back came at 3 years after Star Wars. The Return of the Jedi came 3 years after Empire Strikes Back. If the Empire Strikes Back came back 23, 24 years after Star Wars, do you think anybody would care by that point? No. You have to strike while the iron's hot. And people were obsessive over Avatar. They wanted to live in that friggin' world. They were depressed that they couldn't live in that world, literally. It's like, I want to live there. I want to be among the Na'vi. And now it's like, oh, remember Avatar? The same way you would say, remember Pogs?
Except, like, that's weird to me, because it's like, oh, yeah, I want to live in this universe where humans ruin everything as usual.
Yeah, but we're the good humans. They're the bad military humans. We're the good humans. We're the Sigourney Weaver character.
The reason
I'm bringing it up is that they have a new Avatar game coming out. And, okay, despite everything I said, if they're able to make a living universe, I could see where it might work.
I don't know. It seems so out of left field, and I have no care.
It's not quite out of left field. Like I said, Avatar 2 and Avatar 3 are going to come out at some point. Whenever James Cameron feels it's the time to do it. I mean, they've had... It's ridiculous. If you look at IMDb, it's like they have Avatar 10 planned. It's like they tried to do their own cinematic universe well before Marvel did, except they didn't do anything. It's like as if Marvel put out Iron Man and then waited 20 years to put out Iron Man 2. But it does look good. I mean, in terms of visuals. It's just, is anybody going to care is the question.
I don't think so. Not unless they hold off until, like, we actually have a release date for Avatar 2.
Speaking of not caring, I really don't care about Rocksmith Plus. I don't want to have to learn how to play an electric guitar. I just want a plastic thing.
You know who does... Well, I mean, you know who does care about Rocksmith Plus?
Who?
And not in the way you might expect? Is everybody who owned the other Rocksmith and invested in that
giant
library and had all those songs... And now they can't have all those songs just transferred over to the new game. They have to buy them again and you have to hook up to your fucking cell phone to get your guitar to record for it. And
oh, God.
The whole thing sounds like a dumb idea in a lot of ways.
We're not going to be talking about that game because I refuse to talk about it, but they actually had a showcase for a blockchain game. Yes, we're going to make a game in which you mine bitcoins for us. What? And that's a positive thing. I'm not even going to say the names. The name of the game is so stupid, I'm not even going to mention it. I don't want to give it free advertising. I'm just saying, this has been one strange E3.
Yes, it has.
I'm pretty sure, you know, much more people care about Just Dance than they do Avatar.
I liked Riders Republic. That was maybe one of my favorite things I saw during the whole thing.
We'll talk about it.
Did you see Riders Republic?
Yeah, of course I did.
It's basically like snowboarding, biking, wingsuit, anything that you can use to get down a giant mountain.
Yeah, I think we talked about this like a couple of months ago, in fact.
Yes, but this was like the new gameplay trailer they actually showed for it, and it looked fun. I want to play this game, and especially like in a period in which we really don't have good games like 1080.
Remember we do have Shredder. That's something we might discuss later. Although that's just one extreme sport. Although no, the entire time I was watching Shredder, you know what I was thinking? God, when are they going to remake SSX?
That would be nice. But like Riders Republic looks good. I really enjoyed like the variety that you had in that game that they had in that game.
The question is, how are you going to implement it? Are you just going to find vehicles along? Oh, there's a bike. I'm going to use that. Oh, there's a snowboard. I'm going to use that.
I think you kind of choose what you're going to ride at the start of the competition.
Yeah, but what if you're doing a motorbike and the other person is doing a snowboard? How's that going to work?
I'm not even quite sure because it doesn't look like it's an actual race so much as it looks like it's a chaotic fracas.
That's true. But still, you know, the different. If you're down where beneath the snow line, it's kind of useless for you to use a snowboard.
I think like I'm starting to think that some of the modes will be like make it down the hill without. Like, make it down the hill alive and not sliding across the finish line dead, bloody, and basically a corpse.
Let's move on to Gearbox. We only had two things to show, and one was Borderlands DLC, no one cares. The other was Borderlands related, but at least it was different. What did you think of Tiny Tina's Wonderlands?
It's gonna be basically Borderlands with a fantasy fiction twist on it, right?
Yeah.
I think the most interesting thing about that game was the cast list issue.
Yeah. How many games do you know that has Wanda Sykes in it?
Right. Like they had some pretty good names on that whole cast list.
Yeah.
And like I don't know the game. I don't feel anything for it yet. I think I want to see if it's any different from Borderlands, because right now it just sounds like it's going to be Borderlands with a fantasy fiction twist on it.
By the way, for those who don't know, the other actors are Andy Samberg, Will Arnett, and Ashley Birch.
Yeah. Did you know that Homeworld 3 is in development?
Yeah, I know that for the past how many years?
Well, they said it like, if you didn't know, they said it like 7 times during that stream.
They want to remind people, hey, you know, we did this first, even though everybody surpassed us in that regard, in terms of 3D RTSs set in space. Oh, you know, it wasn't part of the E3 thing, but Stellaris announced yet another expansion, which I'm looking forward to. Stellaris Federation expansion, in which you get to create a multi-planet federation or agreement or government, you know, that sort of thing.
Hmm.
And I haven't played Stellaris in a while. This might get me back into it.
So, that Gearbox showcase, first off, was probably the lowest point of all of E3 for me.
Really?
But also it supplied one of the...
You didn't watch that blockchain presentation?
It supplied one of the most awkward and perhaps hilariously memeable E3 moments of the entire show, which was that nobody expected Randy. Like my understanding is that
here's the thing: didn't Randy Pitchford deserve it?
Nobody expected Randy Pitchford to show up on the set of the Borderlands movie, and so everybody was like surprised, which is why everybody looked so awkward around him. And then to cap it off, like the cherry on top. He goes for the high five with Kevin Hart, and just like Kevin Hart just leaves.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm not going to say no one was asking for a Borderlands movie because Tales from the Borderlands was awesome, but they could have done a lot better, even just from the trailer.
When he went for that high five with Kevin Hart and Kevin Hart left him hanging, I couldn't he looked in the camera and he looked like wet, and I couldn't tell if it was just normal Randy Pitchford wet or if he was actually about to cry.
It had to have been scripted.
Randy Pitchford is a very sweaty person.
I wouldn't know. I don't get that close to him.
he just always looks slightly damp from what I've seen of him.
Yeah. So let's get to the elephant in the room. Microsoft and Bethesda's, and they received the most praise. I mean, give Nintendo credit. They came, I think they were what, last? Were they last or next to last?
There was Bandai Namco after them. But, yeah, pretty much last.
Nintendo managed to hold their own and managed to get, and it was pretty easy with Breath of the Wild 2. We'll get back to that later. But the one thing that everybody wanted to know was, what was Starfield? So we got a teaser. Mm-hmm. And it was actually surprisingly informative, because I got some Elite Dangerous vibes from it. And
what you got.
Yeah, and here's the thing. At the Microsoft after stream, you know, when they interviewed him today, he said it was going to be very nitty-gritty and realistic.
I heard from the Washington Post article that he said it was Han Solo in space or Skyrim in space, but when I saw that cinematic, I got Civilization Beyond Earth 5 or Apollo 15. It didn't feel like Han
Apollo
Solo
15?
In space. It felt like, this is our first venture into space, and it's like, is this going to be a flight simulator in space? I don't know what is this, and it's no gameplay.
It's not going to be. It's not. If he said Han Solo in space, I can imagine in which you choose to be a smuggler. It's here's the thing. It's very NASA. It's very 20 minutes into the future, and the only thing that seemed ultra futuristic is that robot. You know, you have a robot helper, or a mech helper. But I got a lot of Elite Dangerous vibes from it.
I mean, like, I would think the way it looked, it would seem more like No Man's Sky. It just, nothing felt...
Well, no, here's the thing about that. The ship that the guy was piloting was not some sleek X-Wing or, you know, so... No, it was like something from Alien. It was like the Nostromo. It was like he was there to mine ore, and that's his job.
It felt like... I don't know, it just felt like a shuttle that we would have seen that's going into the space for the first time. It just kind of had that...
It's very blocky, yeah. TJ, what did you think?
Of what?
Starfield.
I thought it was a lot of cinematics, and I...
No, I mean, but what did you derive from it? Because it was a teaser trailer, but it was imparting a lot of information, including the release date, which was 11/11/22, and there were so many jokes that, okay, so Elder Scrolls V is 11/11/11, Starfield is 11/11/22, that means Elder Scrolls VI will be
11/11/33.
Oh, God, no. But, no, TJ, you've played Elite Dangerous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't it give you the feel of Elite Dangerous in which it's not going to be Elder Scrolls in space, and it's not going to be a fighter sim. It looks like it's going to be a job in space sort of thing in which you pick your role and you just travel between planets and stuff.
Yeah.
I think TJ's completely checked out.
Well, no, it's just that, like, yes, it does give me vibes of Elite Dangerous. It really does. It has since the beginning. It struck me as Bethesda's entire take on like, Elite Dangerous and Star Citizen.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. It's coming out relatively soon. I mean, next year, 2022, which means it has to be at least half done. I mean, they said, the funniest thing is, 25 years in the making. Yeah, sure. The game was announced when the Super Nintendo was launched in 1996. Sure. It was supposed to be for the Sega Genesis, but it got delayed.
Wow.
So, like, Star Citizen, I'm happy that we... I'm sorry, Star Citizen.
Yeah, that's coming out in 11/11/44.
Yeah.
A lot of jokes are made that Starfield's going to come out before Star Citizen.
going to come out before Winds of Winter, that's for sure.
You know what I was kind of like... I don't want to jump, like, completely jump off Starfield because it's interesting.
I know, but I get it. You wanted more, right? You wanted a little bit of gameplay.
We have been waiting so long to see what this game is about, and it's like... we're still going to be waiting until...
But here's the thing. At least... 22. Well, no. I mean, they're going to be releasing... You know they're going to be releasing gameplay after this, you know, on a monthly basis. They have enough time.
You know what, like... But, like, you know what really caught my attention? Because it was, like, so far out of left field, it's so unexpected to me. Like, it feels too soon, but it was there. And I know you're going to groan, Jonah.
Uh-oh.
But...
You're going to talk about Sea of Thieves Captain Jack Sparrow?
A trailer for The Outer Worlds 2.
Oh, yeah, no, I was fine with that. I mean, it was very... I know what what Scott wants to talk about. It was very typical of Obsidian, you know? And it's very typical of The Outer Worlds. Here's the thing. I loved the trailer. It was well done. And I could accept there was no gameplay, because here's the thing. You don't really need gameplay for The Outer World 2, because you already know what The Outer World 1 is like.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I did not hate The Outer World. I just thought it was a missed opportunity. And who knows, you know, I'm interested in The Outer World 2. I want to see how they fix it, you know. I want to see, well, not how they fix it, but more how they improve it.
And, like, for being a trailer that was just, like, they had nothing to show, they were quite self-aware of it, and they had their brand of comedy that they've nailed down over the course of years throughout that whole thing.
But here's the thing, it's not a shocking announcement, because we knew The Outer World was, too, because they announced it, like, a couple of months ago.
Did they? I missed that.
Here's the thing, I think it was just a time for them to remind people, oh, by the way, Microsoft owns Bethesda, and The Outer World 2 is going to be Xbox and PC exclusive. So suck it, Sony.
Yep.
That's what it really was all about. That's what it was about. It was there, because here's the thing. The thing that they stressed over and over and over and over in that presentation is day one Game Pass. Day one Game Pass. List of games that are going to be day one Game Pass. You know, they're reminding you, everything we show you here, Game Pass. Except for, of course, Battlefield 2042. We should discuss that. I'm not a Battlefield fan, but I was blown away, and I'm actually looking forward to that. I had no expectations for Battlefield 2042. Yeah, it's Battlefield. It's going to be a wide open screen, blah, 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 blah. No, they impressed me. They managed to out-Halo Halo in terms of... in terms of wide open spaces and vehicles. What did you think of Battlefield 2042, TJ?
I think it looks... I think it's really great how much they're, like, leaning on what people love about this series. I really think it's, like... When you have that... They really, like, nailed down the vibe when you have that trailer where the jet flies up and
yes. Jumps out of it. He jumps out of it, drives a rocket, and jumps back in again.
Yeah. Like, that is the exact kind of, like, that is the exact kind of feeling that you want to capture.
And here's the thing. That's the exact kind of thing you'll see in gameplay videos. Mm-hmm. People post on YouTube, look what I did. That's basically what they do.
Yeah. So, I loved that. I love the little glimpses of what we can expect for gameplay. I love the tease of, like, the amount... We've seen map-changing events in the past. Like Battlefield 4 had one map where a ship crashes on the shore, and then you can fight on the ship. Mm. But, like, the level of dynamic maps we're talking about here where a tornado...
They talked about the tornado in the after show, and they talked about how... Normally, it's a scripted event, you know, these sort of things. But Tornado is not going to be a scripted event.
Mm-hmm. It'll happen. Sometimes it won't.
Sometimes, and you'll have storms and all that stuff. One of the things I knew before they showed the video was that Battlefield 2042 was going to be something like three times larger. The maps are going to be three times larger than the previous games. So you can have some massive, massive, massive maps, which is great, you know? And I also believe they said 128 players and matches, which is Someone snarked that, yeah, 72 of them are going to be bots. But, yeah, you'll have up to 128 players, which I remember Mag, all the way back for, I think it was PlayStation 3, I think had 100-player maps. Was it 100 versus 100 in Mag, or just 100 players in Mag? Do you remember? M.A.G. You remember that game? Nobody remembers that game.
Which one?
Mag. M.A.G.
I do remember it, but I don't know much about it.
It was for the PlayStation 3, and it could handle 256 players. Well, it had the Guinness World Record for that, but I think it was usually just a 64 versus 64. So, but yeah. No, domination was 128 to a side. But still, it's been a while since we've seen something that massive. And oh, by the way, before we actually fully talk about it, Halo Infinite is all going to up the number of players in a big team battle too. So we're seeing this is what I think the real next gen is. It's not the graphics. It's the number of players you can have in a single game.
Yeah, that is a huge player count. The 128. And
well, here's it. 120 plus tanks, plus helicopters, plus jet fighters, plus jeeps. So it's a lot bigger than it's bigger than Mag, because Mag didn't have all those vehicles, if I remember correctly. It was just a lot of people. But yeah, 2042 looks really good, and I may, you know, investigate it. And I don't play Battlefield.
Yeah, and like the fact that they're right out in front with the way this was always going to be a game as a service type game, but they're right out in front of it about it. They're honest about it. They actually dropped a lot of details about like what they're going to do with their post-launch content, which I appreciate. I like knowing what I'm getting if I'm going to go in on a battle pass or if I'm going to go in on like a season.
Yeah, I think transparency has been the buzzword lately. I mean, Microsoft's been transparent with Halo Infinite. Might as well talk about that. If there's one thing, is that everybody loved what they saw from Halo Infinite. The really hard-to-please fans are really excited after they showed that demo of multiplayer.
Multiplayer? Yeah! Even people that... I've seen people that have been shitting on Halo Infinite since the first time it was shown. And, like... I've seen people that are like, this game is going to be bad, and they couldn't be convinced otherwise.
Yeah, 343 doesn't know Halo.
This was the weekend where I saw people that were like stalwart against this game, like that were just like absolutely against this, that were like, oh my god, this might actually be good.
Yeah. Also, they showed a little bit of campaign, and they showed the weapon, who is basically Cortana's replacement, voiced by Jen Taylor, who also voices Cortana. And that answered a lot of questions that people had. Who's going to be Master Chief's voice with an internet connection, you know, his little AI helper, and it's going to be her. And the thing is, she is naive beyond belief. Which is an interesting dynamic, because remember, it was always Cortana who was basically the one who knew everything and was telling Chief what he had to do. Now it's going to be reversed. Now Chief has this new AI who is very naive, and he's going to be instructing her.
Uh-huh.
But getting back to the multiplayer, the graphics looked amazing.
The abilities looked amazing. That brute rocket launcher that basically fires spikes looked amazing.
Oh, yeah, and also everybody was talking about that thing in which Master Chief, or not the Master Chief, but the player just bounced back an energy blast at somebody.
Yeah, the abilities in this game look like they're going to be really fun to figure out and employ.
And also, they're going back to slowing down the characters a little bit. Because here's the thing, Halo, the first Halo, you know, Master Chief moved slowly, right? Because it was more the limitations of the hardware, but it's always been, and then he kept on getting faster and faster and faster. Now they're bringing it back a little and bringing back a little bit more of the tactics to Halo Infinite. The other game there are two other games that people just went nuts over. I'm not a Forza Horizon fan. I'm more of a motorsport guy, but Now, I was impressed with Forza Horizon 2. Forza Horizon 5, I mean. T-O-O. And I saw so much positive press about that, too.
The best Mexican skyline.
Oh, yeah, and the developers showed how much they kept on photographing everything. They photographed the damn sky, and they photographed the damn cactus and the rocks.
I mean, it does look impressive. I really do feel like... It's hard to think of... Like, there are a lot of good racing game makers
out. Yeah.
I really do think that. But I don't think that there's anyone that has the genre nailed down and at the same time figures out how to make it pop as well as the people that work on Forza do.
I would say maybe the people behind Dirt a little bit. I mean, at least they in terms of gameplay.
I saw a lot of photographing video games. It's
photogramming.
At this, you know, were they taking pictures of everything?
Well, isn't Forza Horizon 5 using the Unreal 5 engine? I know one of the games is that they went on about. But like I said, I'm not really into the open world Forza Horizon mode, you know, in the off track. But this, it looked really, really good, and it's Game Pass, so I'll probably try it out anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, now Scott's probably going to burst at the seams until we discuss Eden Chronicle 100 Heroes,
yes.
Which is actually going to be on Game Pass.
Yep. Not day one, but it will be on Game Pass. And it will. It was a very big surprise because a lot of us did not expect this to show up at any of the E3 presentations. But Microsoft decided to show it because they, partnered a deal with Rabbit and Bear,
mm-hmm.
and they're putting it on Xbox. It's also coming out on PlayStation
and Switch,
Nintendo Switch.
It is coming out on Switch. Yes.
Yeah, it will, and Steam and Epic Game Store. So. Eden Chronicle is coming to, in 2023, but they also announced the companion game, Eden Rising, and that's going to be a, like, town-building game. It looks like it's a side-scrolling...
I'm not sure it's going to be on... I don't know if it's going to be on Xbox, though. It may be, but it's not going to be on Game Pass.
Okay. I thought it would be, but I'm not sure either.
Well, I don't know, but it's a spin-off, you know. Microsoft's going for the meat here.
Right. So, you know, so the game showed some new stuff. It showed some nighttime events. It showed a little bit more nicer graphics. It showed some more action. It showed new characters. If you've been following the development, they showed what people are theorizing is the back of Wyler, who's shooting an arrow into an enemy. So that was interesting. And they showed... Leanne, like, knocking one of the characters across the screen, so there's going to be, like, comedic moments like that in the game. And, of course, this is, like, based off the spiritual successor of Suikoden, so you're going to be gathering these 100 heroes, or 110 heroes, actually, and you'll be fighting against the Empire, I believe, as far as I know right now.
Speaking of which, isn't Suikoden announced for the Switch?
No.
The new Suikoden.
No.
Really?
No.
No mention of any Suikodens.
What am I thinking? Oh, no, I'm thinking of Shin Megami Tensei. That's what they announced for the Switch.
SMT, yes. That's the one that people are talking about for the Switch.
Yeah.
Konami has not announced any games or letting anyone else make any of their games. Trust me, I think everyone would go insane.
So let's talk about Eden Chronicle, and I'll repeat it again. The gameplay shots that I've seen make the game look gorgeous. Even though it's pseudo 16, 32-bit, you know, they still manage to add a lot of depth to the colors and give it a grainy look. And here's the thing. I said Night City in Cyberpunk 2077 looked alive. The city in Eden Chronicle looked alive, too.
Oh, yeah. You have all these NPCs walking around, and it just feels like it's lively. There's things happening. There's a lot of mini games planned and a lot of different developments that they're doing. It's just, I really love seeing these new trailers and seeing the development of the game, and they're coming along nicely.
Yeah. So, we're going to talk briefly about the DLC that was announced. I mean, it's funny that, you know, they're really making sure that people who invested in Fallout are getting a lot. I mean,
yeah.
The DLC that they're releasing, it's like, yeah, you remember when we said there were no NPCs? Screw that. You're now in an MMO.
Yeah, they're doing this Brotherhood story arc where you have to decide the fate of the Brotherhood in this region.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go traditional, or you're going to go after justice or, you know, duty.
And they bring you to the pit, which was a DLC in Fallout 3.
Right. Isn't that Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's interesting too. And there's like that's Expeditions DLC. So it's good. I'm glad that they're developing more for Fallout 76 and giving actual NPC stories, because that's what people wanted, and now they're finally getting it.
Yeah. So, TJ, what did you think of Sherman Doom?
I was really worried that that Grounded wouldn't get an even more scary spider than it had before.
I'm going to tell you something.
I love that line. I love that line.
The blob is scarier than the spider. I'm sorry. This blob is scarier than the spider. I mean, those two blobs, that to me is creepy.
It is, because it's not natural. It's just weird, gross.
It's the two blobs just hovering in midair. It's like I become Luigi in the mansion. He's like, where's my thing that'll suck it up? That's scary.
Yeah, because it's like, I get a spider. I know how to fight a spider. A blob? I don't know.
I don't like the idea of either.
But, you know, we got birds, we got fish, you know, and we got achievements. What?
You're gonna be able to tame aphids and make them into your little pet friends.
Oh, you know, here's the thing. The ants seem to like me, although I think it's because I'm always carrying around food. I think that's why they like me.
You're gonna be able to tame them and turn them into pals.
But and also get achievements, which is one reason to get back into Grounded for me. But, yeah, there's a lot of throw it at the wall and see what sticks. I mean, Bleeding Fist didn't really work out, but Grounded is one of those side projects that really is starting to take off now. So, let's talk about Captain Jack Sparrow.
Oh, yeah, it was a surprise.
Here's the thing. When that woman came on, I said, oh, look, they're making their own version of Tia Dama. Oh, after Jack Sparrow appeared, I said, oh, no, wait, that really was Tia Dama.
Yeah, I was, like, I had a feeling, because at the very, 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 very...
You had the dog with the keys in its mouth. Yeah, that was
No. At the very beginning of that, they actually do, like, the yo-ho, yo-ho, Pirates Live for Me thing, and I thought
really?
I recognized it.
I think they were trying to tease it that this is going to be like Pirates. They didn't... Then it's, oh, wait, it is Pirates. And here's the thing. The entire game is a parody of Pirates, the entire game is Pirates of the Caribbean without the Pirates of the Caribbean title. This was just saying, no, you know, we're stopping faking being Pirates of the Caribbean. We're just going to be Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, the Mad Lads did it. They finally crossed over with their very inspiration.
Yeah, so, now we're going to start talking about bananas and whatever. That old joke from E3. I was pleasantly surprised to see Davy Jones. And the other thing is that if you ever played Sea of Thieves, you know this. All of your enemies are skeletons. It was so nice to have enemies that weren't skeletons.
Yeah, so... I like the trailer was fun. I did enjoy it, and they did a gameplay thing afterwards that was even more fun. I think they showed that today.
Yeah, that was part of the thing in which developers talk about their games. So before we move on to the games that are more or less multi-platform, although some of them aren't, the biggest surprise, and I know Scott probably laughed his ass off about this, was that, guess what? Redfall is not the subtitle to Elder Scrolls VI. It has nothing to do with the Red Guard. Instead, it's an open-world vampire game.
It's a dope-ass-looking game from the folks at Arkane.
Arkane, yeah.
They can do no wrong, I'm all in.
Well, that's... Some people don't like... some people think that Dishonored was the only good game they made, which I... They didn't like Prey? Really? Well, anyways, but Redfall looks different. And here's the thing. I'm glad they didn't go the zombie route. Finally, vampires. Do something with vampires that is like this, and it's not Vampire the Masquerade. The website actually gives a lot of information. These are not vampires. These are vampires created by science.
Yes.
These are lab-created vampires. And the mood of the game is at once quirky, but also the ending of that trailer in which you had that one vampire blotting out the sun, that was Lovecraftian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like this whole trailer was really fun. I'm interested to see what gameplay will look like, because this is a very different game for Arcane.
By the way, like I said, this is not left for vampires. It's an open world co-op RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And you can play alone, but warning, you don't want to play alone. It'll be a little bit too difficult to play alone. And the one question I have is, the question was answered. You have four characters. Each of them have their own special powers. So it's sort of like playing, Vermintide, in which you can be the dwarf. You can be the, you know. So one person has the psychic powers. One person is the science nerd who has a gun that shoots wooden stakes. Another one is a sniper who is part vampire. And the other girl is a tech nerd.
Yeah, so it's interesting, right? Like, this is something that we haven't seen Arcane do before. This is something that's out of the ordinary. It's basically their... I don't know if it seems like Vermintide to me. It struck me as like a Borderlands.
No, a lot of people are saying it's Borderlands with Vampire. No, what I meant was that each character has their own special abilities. It's not like, say, Left 4 Dead, in which it doesn't matter who you are.
What I was getting at with that is that, like, there were some very distinct parallels. We had the character who was the sniper had a bird with him, which instantly makes me think of Mordecai from Borderlands 1. And then we had the character that had, a drone with them, which makes me think of Roland. And, like, you know what? I don't even give a shit if Arcane copies off of Gearbox for this, because I want to see their take.
Now, here's the thing. What really sold it was the vampire design.
Mm-hmm. Well, the characters, too. I like the distinct attitudes of them.
Yeah.
I hope that comes through in the game.
I mean, you're fighting humans who are a cult to these vampires, and the vampires are just interesting.
Yes.
And that's all I really care about. It's just something interesting.
Arcane has always been very, very good at world building, in my opinion. And I'm just interested to see, like, how they adapt what Gearbox has done into the Arcane style of doing things. We don't have gameplay yet, but that trailer was freaking good.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the idea of just like a brand new IP from them.
Here's the thing, way back when Arcane did their first game Dishonored, Dishonored was something no one knew anything about. They just saw one picture of Corvo in a jail cell, and they had no idea what was going on, and then they released the gameplay trailer for that, and people said, ooh, something new. So they're doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some other unexpected games. First, the Plague Tale sequel, A Plague Tale Requiem.
I didn't expect there to be a Plague Tale sequel. Or at least, I guess it kind of set up for it at the end of the last one. But, like, I really had no idea what they would do with that.
Yeah. And just the shot of that wave of rats coming at the camera.
Oh, my God. It's going to be a next-gen wave of rats.
That was so creepy when I saw that.
Yeah. We could also talk about... Here's the thing. I played Slime Rancher, and I thought it was nice. But I'm going to tell you something. I went to the individual trailer for Slime Rancher 2, and there was nothing but people saying, oh, my God, this is the best game of the show for me. And it's really? Like so many... Yeah, here's the thing I realized. That game is a very relaxing Zen game, and people just got into it. And the fans of that game are hardcore fans. I did not see a single negative comment on the Slime Rancher 2 trailer.
Well, that's nice, at least.
It was amazing. It was like, wow, people are really into Slime Rancher.
Apparently, yeah.
I mean, it's their Pokemon, I guess.
I'm glad people like it. You know, it's. I wouldn't say it's my best game, but, you know.
I played it.
It looked nice and cute.
I played it. It does have a relaxing quality. I think that's its main draw. It's colorful. It's relaxing. It just allows people to chill.
Yeah.
Another game that's coming out in Game Pass is Party Animals, and I did not know what to think of that. From what I thought, it was a sequel to Fall Guys, but apparently it's a game that's been on, I don't know if it's early access, but it's been on Steam for a long while without being released, and people are into it. And it's just so weird, because the way they move, it's sort of like finger puppets that don't really have control of their limbs.
Yeah.
Then you have Atomic Heart, which is a Russian game that's trying to be as Japanese as possible. What did you think of Atomic Heart there, TJ?
I have been in on that game since we first saw it.
Really?
It's been a while since. It's actually been like, we've seen trailers for a couple of years now, and it gets better every time I see it. It looks weird.
Like I said, don't you agree with me? It's a Russian game that's trying its darndest to be a Japanese game.
It's got a lot of different vibes to it. It's got Bioshock vibes. It's got Fallout vibes.
It's got robots and robots and more robots. Teeny tiny bug-sized robots to robots, robot dominatrixes to big robots.
It's got robots that, like, you'll try to open up to deactivate them and little needles will pop out and try to stab you for it. Like, everything in that game that's mechanical looks like awe-inspiring. And then everything that's biological just looks outright terrifying. And then Mick Gordon, the guy who scored Doom, is doing the soundtrack for this game. That was the big thing that we learned during this reveal. And so, like, I'm even more all in on this than I was before, because I want to see what it's about.
Here's the thing. I only knew the name before I saw the trailer, basically. So, the trailers, and by the way, for those who are listening, everything we're discussing is on Game Pass, day one. So, yeah. Another surprise of the game was Somerville, and it's basically Inside grew up and had a family. What did you think of Somerville? That's Inside. It looks like a game that Play Dead would make, but it's not. And the father looks like the main character of Inside.
Oh yeah, it definitely had that Inside vibe.
Except they're moving from right to left instead of left to right most of the time.
Yeah, I think this looks like a fun game to play.
It's gonna be one of those creepy child in a lost world, except now you have an entire family to take care of.
Yeah.
I don't actually, I feel like I was nose down in my work when Somerville must have been announced, because I remember a lot of my colleagues were saying that this was their favorite indie game of the entire show.
Really? Wow, they must really be a fan of Limbo and Inside and...
Yeah. And Outer Worlds, that was an old game from SNES that definitely has the same kind of vibe.
You mean Another World?
Another World, sorry.
Yeah. Well, it actually had Another World was, I don't know, there were two titles. One was European, one was US. But it wasn't Outer World, but I know the game you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did mean Another World.
Yes, I did see this game. Yes, this game had probably one of the best art styles in the entire show, for sure.
Well, what about 12 Minutes?
I don't know. 12 Minutes is interesting.
Yeah.
So, I think 12 Minutes is more interesting for its concept than it is for its art style.
Yeah.
So, when's the last time that you heard of freaking Willem Dafoe voicing a indie game?
It's Annapurna, and Annapurna also is making a lot of motion pictures.
Yeah, so they're actually like one of the most wealthy motion picture companies in the world right now.
So I think they're just, you know, they have the stable of talent, and they're just going to use it, you know? Mm-hmm. So there are other games that are not surprises, but are surprised to be Game Pass. Diablo II Resurrected is going to be Game Pass. And I know if a lot of people are probably really happy that Hades is going to be Game Pass.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
That's an excellent, fun game.
Well, is Hades your favorite game of 2020, TJ? I forgot.
It was my top indie game of 2020.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to enjoy playing it again for the achievements. The other game that came out of nowhere, and it was basically sort of a teaser, was Contraband. And even though we didn't really see anything, it imparted enough information. It's going to be a heist game set in either Central America or South America or in the American Southwest. And that is already on my radar because there's nothing like a good heist game.
Yeah. Coming from Avalanche, which is like...
Oh, yeah. And people were squealing at the fact it was Avalanche. They were going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that people were disappointed by, not because, you know, disappointed in that they didn't show it. There was no Hellblade 2, although they did do a developer diary after, you know, today. About Hellblade 2. There was no State of Decay 3. There was no Fable. There was no... You know, there's a lot of games that didn't get shown off.
Yeah, and the bit that they showed on Hellblade today made me think that we're not going to see that game until at least 2023.
There was one game that was announced that said, 2023, and I forgot which one it was. That people are going to be disappointed that it's 2023. Anyways...
I don't know, but like but when they did the update on Hellblade 2 today, they were talking about they were still traveling to Iceland to get topographical data and prepare a gameplay slice, which makes me think that they're still pretty early in their development for that game.
Oh yeah, Eden Chronicle 100 Heroes is going to be 2023. Sorry, Scott. Although, you know, might as well get it right, you know, for whenever it comes out. Oh, the other game that I'm really looking forward to is Ascent. You know, it's a sci-fi Diablo. Gotta go for that. And also Among Us is coming to consoles and Game Pass.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't know you don't like that one.
No. Although I'm wondering, is it going to be better using a gamepad? The problem is, how are you going to... I'm not going to mention Psychonauts 2 because guess what? They did do a plot reveal today as well on just who the big bad is. A woman named Maligula, and she was a serial killer who's trying to be resurrected. And, yeah, I mean, Psychonauts 2 is Psychonauts 2, but, you know, I'm talking about games that really surprised me.
Okay.
You know? Oh, and they showed Stalker 2. And the one problem I had with Stalker 2 is that gameplay trailer was too long.
That was a very long trailer.
It was too long.
There was a bunch of guys sitting around a campfire talking.
And then they showed gifts of gameplay. Here's the thing, though. People have been waiting a long time for Stalker 2, and there's some people who are really, really into Stalker. So they're happy.
Yeah, I guess that's all that matters.
And I'm, you know, I want to play Scorn at some point, the world's most disgusting H.R. Giger shooter. and of course, Diablo 2 Resurrected. And I was pleasantly surprised to find out that was going to be Game Pass. Although I'm probably still going to just want to play it on PC.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Square Enix. And here's the thing. They showed a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy. And you know what? I found myself saying, yeah, I could get into this.
I liked it. I thought the character dynamics were good. Those were really entertaining. You get to choose different dialogue. It affects your relationship with the characters. The terrain, the planet looked so cool. I don't know if you've read Stormlight Archive, but it looked like Roshar from Stormlight Archive, which is, it was just beautiful. All the lightning and the terrain falling apart, the rain, and just the sense of humor and the 80s music.
You could tell it was taking a lot of cues from Mass Effect.
Yeah. I think it looks like a good game.
And here's the thing. A lot of people were down at it as the trailer was going, and it's like, no, they're showing actual gameplay. I get to see what the game is like, and I'm liking what I see. It's called a demo.
Yeah, it was. That's how these things should be. They should be showing you some gameplay so you have an understanding of what to expect in the game.
And here's the thing. The Avengers was such a... The release of the Avengers was such a turd, I think they felt compelled that their next Marvel property, they were going to show as much as possible to show this is not the Avengers.
Right.
Mm.
What did you think of it, TJ?
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
I think that they better come up with it. I think that if they're going to have licensed music in that game, they better come up with a DMCA-friendly way, a friendly mode for
it. Oh, that's right. Stream it. One of the things we learned was that each and every character was going to have their own music, their own 80s music. Here's the thing about 80s pops. They're so cheap to get the rights to. I'm pretty sure they bought perpetual rights to each of the songs.
Yeah, I mean, they had them in their movies, so they had to get the rights.
Oh, no, here's the thing. Movies are just a one-off, you know. What we're talking about here is if Guardians of the Galaxy is ever re-released, you know, you have some games that are re-released, you can't have the same music because the rights ran out on them. I think they can get perpetual rights on the music they're doing. I mean, Steely Dan has been in so many trailers. which game did Microsoft show off that had Steely Dan? Oh, yeah, it was Contraband.
It was Contraband.
Yeah. Which I think sold the game for a lot of people, just having Steely Dan. But yeah, like I said, there was a lot of gameplay. I was not bored by the gameplay. So, I'm going to check it out, basically. Even though I'm not a Guardians of the Galaxy fan. Scott?
I definitely want to check it out. It looks like a lot of fun.
They did seem to, like, at the very least, they seemed to nail down the writing. The characters were portrayed well in that trailer, in that gameplay. The banter that they had going on fit the Guardians of the Galaxy and made me want to see more.
I will say this, though. You notice they were trying very hard to avoid looking like the MCU counterparts. They wanted to make sure even Rocket looked different than his MCU counterpart. They made sure everybody looked different, so you didn't have that problem. Because one of the things about the Avengers also was that there was sort of an uncanny valley going on there, in which they were too close to looking like, say, Robert Downey Jr., but not close enough. So it's sort of like you have this weird plastic version of Robert Downey Jr. that doesn't look like Robert Downey Jr., but it's supposed to be. You know, here they're staying away from that. They want to make Star look nothing like Chris Pine. Not Chris Pine.
Chris Pike? No.
Chris Pike.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. But they're trying to make him look nothing like him.
Right.
So, before we move on to the bigger games, I want to get your impression. What did you think of Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster?
I love it. I want it. I want to play all of
it. It's on Steam and Mobile, and I think it's going to remain on Steam and Mobile only. I don't think it's going to come. I don't think it's coming to Switch or anything like that.
I doubt that. I have a feeling
it should come to Switch, at least.
Because what they're doing is basically it's still going to be the same kind of pixels, but they're going to be sharper, and so it doesn't hurt your eyes to play.
I think they're basically taking the original games and making them prettier, but I think keeping them basically the same.
No, they're using the same pixels. See, that's the thing. But they're changing the colors a little bit, and they're making it sharper so it comes off the screen. But otherwise, it's exactly like the PS1 games that, you know, you may have played. Or not PS1. Final Fantasy was a Nintendo series for a long while. I keep forgetting. And then it came to, and then 7 came to the PlayStation 2, and it just wrecked everybody's dreams.
Well, yeah, the Final Fantasy 7 was like the changing of an era.
Now, if I remember, this is going to be Final Fantasy 1 through 6, right?
Yep. They're remastering them. Yep, going to be on Steam. They're not a collection, so they're individually purchasable.
It's going to be on Steam. You're going to be able to purchase a bundle.
Oh, yeah.
I hope there's a bundle. Cause I don't
I'll do sales. I know that eventually, and then they'll be like...
No, there's going to be a bundle right off the bat.
Yeah.
But, TJ, you said you're interested, too?
Yeah, of course. I really hope that they do put it on Switch and PS and PlayStation, at least.
Yeah.
Switch would be fine, but I do want to see these come to other consoles. Just because, like, there isn't really a way to get the original Final Fantasies in a good and playable package anymore.
Right.
I think that was one of the motivations for making this game in the first place.
Yeah.
Because, like, they did do, like, bundles of, like, Final Fantasy V and VI, and then Final Fantasy, I think, II and III.
Yeah.
But this is the first time that we will have seen all of these games bundled in one place. And, like, I have interest in playing Final Fantasy VI again. I love that game. I think it's one of the best JRPGs ever.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, let's... Talking about Final Fantasy 1, you also have Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin. And they just announced today that it's not a direct sequel to Final Fantasy 1.
Nope.
It's basically inspired by Final Fantasy 1.
Yeah, it's their own alternate story, whatever. Looks like Devil May Cry got blended with Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
that guy wants to kill Chaos so fucking bad.
It's time to kill Chaos. That's a major...
Yeah, the demo's out right now on the PS5.
That guy's going to kill Chaos, and no one is going to stop him from killing Chaos. If you try to stop him from killing Chaos, then you're probably Chaos, and he's going to kill you.
I'm going to kill Chaos and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
At least, you know, he's still less irritating than Dante.
Oh, yeah.
And Garland showed up at the end.
By the way, we have to mention that this is being done by Team Ninja.
Yes.
But Garland showed up at the end. Who, if you don't know, Garland is the original Final Fantasy Big Bad. He's the end boss of Final Fantasy 1. So yes, it's not like a direct sequel. It's kind of a spinoff, but it is still in the Final Fantasy 1 universe.
Yep. And before we talk about Life is Strange, your impressions of Legend of Mana?
I liked that game, but like this wasn't the first announcement of it either, so I don't really have any opinion on it.
Well, you might as well give your opinion in general about it, because it was shown off today.
It's one of my favorite versions of the Mana franchise. I really like the characters, and I really like the music in that game. I think it's some of the best of the series.
Hmm.
There are a lot of different songs in Legend of Mana that are some of my favorites in all of game music.
Whoa, your mic is picking up something.
Oh, somebody was driving by with a really loud car.
How about you, Scott?
Yeah, Legend of Mana is a really lush, beautiful game. I don't know if they remastered it or we made any of it, or just...
Well, it has to be, because the original Legend of Mana was an 8-bit game.
It was on... No, the Legend of Mana was on PlayStation 1.
Really?
Yeah, it was PlayStation.
That was earlier than that.
Secret of Mana was the 8-bit game.
Oh, okay.
But Legend of Mana came out on PS1. It was a very interesting style of game, because basically you would go through different scenarios, and you would collect... sort of like memento. You would collect like special key items from your adventures, and then you would take them back to the world map and place them on the map, and that created another place to adventure to.
Yeah.
So it's got some of my favorite characters. I like the way the fights play out in that game, and it's got some of my favorite music Yeah, like it is a remaster, Scott. This is it is Legend of Mana remastered.
Yeah.
But
complete with anime. Yeah. So I think Don't Nod is just locked into one type of game and one type of game only. Uh-huh. Life is Strange True Colors. I mean, I like the concept. She's an empath, and she can tell by the color aura about someone how they're feeling. And, you know, I'm mildly interested in it. How about you?
I've never been, like, all that in on the Life is Strange games in general. I just kind of missed the beat on that one, and just...
Well, so did I, but I played Tell Me Why, and it's like I'm willing to give True Colors a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I hear they're great. I hear, like... I've heard people that say that, because, like, True Colors is being done by the same folks who did the, what's it called, The Coming Storm or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing, though. At some point, all these games are starting to seem the same to me. Oh, we have a quirky, you know, person who has a weird power, but that weird power... is happening during their awkward post high school days, and I'm so sick and tired of hearing about early 20s angst. I mean, that's why you know it was fine Oxenfree, but after Party, it's like I got sick of that, you know, and I was able to tolerate it in Tell Me Why, even though. After playing Tell Me Why, it's sort of like, the story is kind of pedestrian. It, you know, aside from the fact they're the Corsican twins in which they can, you know, they feel each other's. And this one, I don't know. I mean, we haven't seen a Deanna Troi game, so... so, what?
That's Deanna Troi the game?
Well, that's what she is! That's what the main character is! She's an empath! She can feel feelings, and she can affect those feelings. Which is sort of like that other game they did, that science fiction game in which you can, Remember Me, in which you can change people's memories. Except, this one seems less invasive. So yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna... I don't even know if I'm gonna play Life is Strange Remastered, because I played Episode 1, and I thought, you know, that was enough. That was enough. I only needed one episode. But I am interested in True Colors. And of course, I'm pretty sure they're going to have the Cyndi Lauper song in the game. It's inevitable. They're going to have that Cyndi Lauper song in the game.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Bandai Namco. They did not show Elden Ring because it was in the summer of, you know, the Summerfest.
They showed one thing. They showed the next episode of the Dark Pictures Anthology.
House of Ashes, and I don't want another Scooby-Doo episode.
Look here, Jonah. These American and Iraqi soldiers are going to find strength.
That was the one thing that intrigued me was the setting. But I swear, if it turns out to be something not supernatural, I will be pissed. I want something that's actually supernatural, damn it.
I don't know, like, all I know for sure is that these American and Iraqi soldiers are going to find strange love while trying to fend off Pazuzu vampire peoples.
And it turns out they're just people pretending to be, or they had some sort of gas that they inhaled, or it's all in their heads. Or this is their dying dream, and they actually died, Jacob's Ladder-esque, you know? Just...
There's trippy uranium bat poop down there in the caves.
No, they... What's it called? They're part of a government experiment. They gave them drugs, and now this is what's happening to them. I would like it to be... Here's the thing. You know the show Lost Tapes?
Yeah.
They actually had one episode in which they did the same exact thing. They had soldiers in Iraq who went into a cave and came up. I try to remember what it was. It wasn't devil monkeys. I think it was killer centipedes. Really creepy. That's what I want. I want something that's like, instead of going into a haunted house, you're going into a haunted cave and you can't get out. That would be good. Let me ask you a question. Until Dawn, would it did the same? It's real. No, it's supernatural. No, it's actually real. With the serial killer, I'm trying to remember. Because I think they've done that over and over and over again, and it's getting boring. Anyways, the question is to you, TJ. Are you interested in House of Ashes?
Nope.
Okay. Let's move on to the next game, because I know you're interested in Dying Light 2. But this is the PC gaming show, by the way, folks. So, TJ, how excited are you for Dying Light 2? Really? You were really excited last time we spoke about this.
They're starting to win me over. This game has kind of been like, I don't know. It's kind of been an enigma for it was an enigma for a long while, and now they've risen up from out of nowhere and started talking about it again. And I guess they're just like they're playing it as if they were announcing it for the first time.
They had to wash the stink of Chris Avellan off from first.
Yeah, I know.
I'm looking forward to it. They keep on having these rumors about whether it's going to be Game Pass or if Microsoft's going to buy the developer, that sort of stuff. By the way, there were rumors that Microsoft was going to announce that they bought a new developer this E3, and they did not. So, yeah, I'm surprised you're ambivalent about Dying Light 2.
Yeah, I mean, It's been a while since like they were actively going at this game, and I know that it's finally got a release date this year, but it's also just like I don't know. I want to see a little bit more.
Really? Yeah, I've seen they showed off tons of gameplay.
They showed off tons of gameplay like 2 years ago.
No, recently. It was on the Xbox channel, no less, if I remember correctly. Anyways. Let's include Scott, and let's talk about Humankind. Scott, so
yes.
Humankind is a Civ. It's not a Civ clone. It's just taking things a little bit differently, in which you don't take on a culture like you don't start off as Paris, France. You don't start off as Germany. You don't start off as the Mongols or anything like that. You start off as a civilization, and you adopt a style of government that's sort of like... How much have you learned about Humankind, Scott?
Not too much, but I saw in the show they appear to have added Frankie, the host, as a avatar on the game, and I guess you can try to defeat her in it. So I thought that was amusing. But the game seems like an interesting concept. I remember it said that you start off as one thing. And then at some point you, I guess, change to a descendant or another leader comes in and they take over some of your abilities or your personality characters and you add to it.
Yeah.
Sort of like evolving the culture or...
Yeah, well, every epoch that you go through, you adopt a new
right.
culture. And here's the thing. There's a lot of Civ wannabes that I think it fell flat. I'm hoping Humankind succeeds.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice to see them succeed. They definitely have... It looks great, the art style. And I do like the concept. That seems like an interesting way to reinvent this genre.
So, TJ, is there any game from the PC Gaming Show you want to talk about?
Let me have a look down this list. I'm happy to see that they're doing another Jurassic Park Evolution because that's a game that definitely deserves to.
Yeah, I mean, there's some problems with Jurassic Park Evolution in terms of growing your park. You know, it didn't really seem to have any aim to it. So I'm hoping that they actually have more to it this time around. I mean, let me put it this way. Making it, not Roller Coaster Tycoon, the better one, it actually points you in a direction towards something, right? Jurassic Park Evolution felt like it was meandering a bit. Like, there wasn't really anything to do. Like, everybody had the same goals to do the same thing.
They eventually added a lot of stuff to it, like a lot of different missions and campaign stuff.
Yeah.
But I get what you're talking about with like the base game. It was a little bit like just build a dinosaur park.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I like how much they've leaned into the actual cast of Jurassic Park to make this happen.
Yeah, I just noted how bored Jeff Goldblum sounded.
He only sounds a little bit bored.
No, he sounded like, I can't believe that it's going to be Jurassic Park for the rest of my life.
Well,
that's
what have I done?
This is it. You're not doing anything else, Jeff. No one's offering any roles except for bit parts in Jurassic Park movies. You're the person they bring out. Look, it's Jeff Goldblum because Richard Attenborough is dead.
Shouldn't have been so good at being Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Yeah. I mean, they did bring back Sam O'Neill up once, but he's good. He's a good actor, but he's not Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Sam Neill.
As far as... Good, Scott.
No, keep going, TJ.
There are two main people that everybody associates with Jurassic Park nowadays, and I'm trying to pull up the other one now because he's so good.
He's also Star-Lord.
Oh, no, not him. Where is he? B.D. Wong.
Dr. Oh, yeah. He's been in a lot.
He has been in pretty much all of them.
No, I mean, he's been in a lot of movies. He keeps on... He was in the Kung Fu Panda movies, in fact. Chris Pratt, by the way, who no one likes anymore because he's turned out to be a kind of a shit of a person.
But B.D. Wong is, like, maybe one of the most popular... Besides Jeff Goldblum, B.D. Wong is the one that everybody kind of associates with Jurassic Park now.
He makes a good villain.
He does. He was the one that, like, had that big line that basically sums up the entire Jurassic
Park. You wanted more tea, yes, from...
Yes.
Yeah. These are monsters we're making. They're not real dinosaurs, which is true. Because, you know, here's the thing, people who produce Jurassic Park says, are we going to keep on changing it so we match the current science? No. This is all genetic engineering, so we're going to just flat out say, you know what, this is the this is what we're doing. We're just making monsters for people to gawk at. Yeah, the new Indominus Rex, you know, sponsored by Pepsi. The game that surprised me the most was Far Changing Tides, because Far Lone Sails was an interesting indie game, but I didn't think it was going to get a sequel. For those who don't know, Far Lone Sails is that game in which you're in this gigantic Mad Max thing, which is just trundling along the road from left to right. You have to pick up fuel for it. Well, now here's the boat version of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't tried Far Lone Sails, go ahead and give it a try. It's a bit relaxing. There's not much challenge to it, but it's such an interesting world that you go through that it's worth the price. So, Scott, you seem to have underlined Silt.
Oh, yeah, Silt. It looks like a Limbo, but underwater. You're only in this scuba gear, and you're just exploring and doing puzzles underwater, which looked interesting, at least to me. Mm-hmm. I thought it looked fun.
Yeah, so one other thing is that did we really need another Killing Room?
No.
Killing Room?
Yeah, Killing Room Floor 2.
Killing Floor.
Killing Floor. Oh, Killing Floor. Why did I just write Killing Room Floor 2? Killing Floor.
And this isn't a new game. It's just a new update for the game.
Oh.
It's they're basically adding a new map and four new weapons.
Yeah.
Which the map is going to be on Moon Base, and it's going to have a killer clown theme. So killer clowns from outer space, which I can appreciate that. Like they do really interesting stuff with that game, and it's interesting to think that they continue to do interesting stuff with that game for as long as Killing Floor 2 has been around, because it's been years now. everybody's, it's been long enough that everybody's like, when's Killing Floor 3? Hmm. And I would like to see a Killing Floor 3. But until then, I am okay with them continuing to add to Killing Floor 2.
So let's talk about Next Space Rebels and just that it seems to be sort of a weird variation on Kerbal Space Program. And that trailer was really weird. In which, first you're building bottle rockets, and then eventually reach the real rockets.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have much to say about this one.
It was just a strange trailer, that's all. That's what I bring up.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so we're going to move on. And here's where the drone will come from, TJ. Let's talk about Capcom. TJ, let's talk about Resident Evil Reverse.
Do we have to?
Yes, we have to.
Let's skip to the next thing.
Can we just skip Capcom?
No. No, Resident Evil Reverse.
There is nothing noteworthy about this game. You know what's noteworthy? You were right. They're going to do DLC for Village.
Yeah.
And that's what matters. That's all that matters.
So, TJ, why are you down on Resident Evil Reverse?
Because it looks like absolute shit.
Why does it look like absolute shit?
Because, like, it looks so rushed. It looks like they're really, really, like, they're pushing this game out not because they want to, but because they feel like they have to. Because they got the anniversary this year, and they feel like they have to do something with it. But they don't. But they aren't doing something good with it, and it shows every time I see it.
Sorry, TJ, I'm just enjoying your pain.
It's sad. I wish they would put their resources in. This is, you know what? Resident Evil Reverse is resources and time they could be putting into this DLC that they just teased.
Hmm. So, actually, let's talk about Monster Hunter Stories 2, which you seem to be a lot more high on.
Yes, that one looks good. It looks like a typical JRPG. This looks like something that Scott should totally be into.
Well, aren't you, Scott? Didn't you say you liked what you saw from it last week? Oh, Scott? Uh-oh, you may have fallen asleep again. And also Monster Hunter Rise, which looks fine, too.
Yeah, they're still doing new stuff for Monster Hunter Rise. The big thing that they announced this time was that the dogs from Monster Hunter Rise, the Pelamites, are going to be coming to Monster Hunter Stories.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because the whole gig behind Monster Hunter Stories 2 is that you're going to be able to, like, collect and sort of breed monsters that are going to have different aspects to them that you take into combat against other monsters.
Yeah.
Sort of a Pokemon aspect, except your character also fights alongside them.
You know what? I keep on hearing people, and this is at the Xbox, presentation. So many people were demanding a new Dragon's Dogma.
Yes.
There's a lot of people. I didn't realize that Dragon's Dogma had such a vociferous fan base now.
Yes. There are a lot of people out there that absolutely love the shit out of that game and want a sequel more than anything.
Yeah.
I am personally aware of at least 3 or 4 close friends that would kill to have something new in that series.
Especially if you still have that that assistant mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles is fine. It's a remake of 2 games.
I can't believe they're getting away with the whole Shlomes?
Sherlock Sholmes.
Yeah, I can't believe they're getting away with that. That's just, come on.
They gotta. It's the licensing. For some reason. Like, and the fact of the matter is that you might say, shouldn't that be public domain? But there is a group that's actually making a Sherlock Holmes game, and it's Frogwares.
Yeah, it's not that it's public domain. It's more like, we're just going to do a parody of it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it makes sense. The game is a goofy kind of take on court proceedings and investigations, and it's supposed to be very tongue-in-cheek, so I guess that does fit with that kind of vibe.
Okay, so let's talk about Nintendo And we'll get straight to Breath of the Wild 2. So, Scott, was it what you were expecting?
I didn't expect the flying islands, so that was a cool surprise. I saw new abilities, like you can apparently pass through certain amount of walls with, I'm not sure how he did it, but he like just kind of shot up into it. And I think I saw him with a mechanical arm of some kind. I'm not sure. It was like a glowing arm. I don't know if that was attached to him or not. There was just like, I guess he has a new hairstyle now, and he can fly higher somehow. It looked really good, and I'm really intrigued. And there's doing something with Ganon, but I'm not sure what.
TJ?
Yeah, I heard a lot of people saying that it seems like they're sort of. It seems like they're sort of implementing more Skyward Sword features
into this,
which caused some people to be concerned. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I liked Breath of the Wild enough that I really want to see what they do with this.
Yeah, I think they're evolving the game. They're, like they said, improving it. I don't know if they're going to keep the breaking weapons mechanic, but if they do, I wish there was a repair ability.
I think they're going to ditch that mechanic. I can't imagine them keeping that mechanic. It was so unpopular.
I hope they don't. That's a huge part of Breath of the Wild.
No, here's the thing. You can do something similar, but make it less annoying.
I have a relationship with that weapon system that I feel that I feel is important to that game. And I feel like a lot of people do. I feel like the people that are actually angry about it, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of whining over nothing in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, it was easy to just go find a new weapon. It just, I don't know, would have been nice to be able to repair them, maintain them.
That I would be okay with. I would like if there was a repair system in the game, mm-hmm. or like a strengthening system in the game, that would be neat. I would be cool with that.
I think there's other ways to convince players to use different weapons, and you can make different weapons more effective in certain things. Like you need an axe to chop down a tree, you need a hammer to break rocks, you know, and so on. You know, if you want a spear to throw at someone far away or keep enemies out of range, I think there are other ways to convince players to use a variety of weapons.
I think, and like, you can disagree with me if you want, the amount of fragility in that game when it comes to weapons is a very important lesson, and just like, nothing that you have is permanent, and you'll always have to keep discovering new things if you want to remain versatile and survive.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important part of Breath of the Wild. Like, you, like I made a tweet about this in 2017.
I saw the tweet.
Like, it's really funny to me that you get this fucking Thunderblade, and it has this badass description on it about, like, this blade was forged in the lightning of the hills of Hylia. And I just, like, swung it at a tree. It's like, your Thunderblade broke.
It is funny. It also just kind of sucks a little. You're like, aw, man.
But, like, it led to a situation where, like, okay, so, like, this is a personal story for me, because this was a connection I formed with the game. There are three god dragons in the game.
Right.
And by helping them and interacting with them, they each give you a treasure in the form of a spear related to their element. And then you get a house in the game where you can display weapons. I took those weapons and I kept them and I didn't use them. And then I put them in my house because it's like, these are fucking treasures from fucking dragons. I'm not going to use them on anything. I'm going to treasure them. They're gifts.
Yeah.
And like, that was a relationship that I formed with that experience of helping those dragons and gaining those treasures. Okay, and I think that's like something that I couldn't have had if I just had weapons that just never broke.
I want them to improve the house stuff. That's what I would like. I would like to get more stuff in my house.
And you know what all of that leads up to? It all leads up to the Master Sword. The one weapon in the game that doesn't break, and how fucking cool that weapon is. That's like, that's the whole point, is that it all leads up to getting the Master Sword, which is the one weapon which will not break.
Right. But it gets tired and needs a break.
Mm-hmm. So that's my spiel on why the weapon durability is actually right. Cool, Breath of the Wild.
So they also announced the Game & Watch, this time for The Legend of Zelda. They'd done it previously for Super Mario, and this will include four games. It'll include the original Legend of Zelda, Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, which, by the way, is a very interesting... We've discussed it before in that it's a side-scrolling platformer, unlike all the other games. And Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening, and also Vermin. So, those who don't know what Vermin is, that was an old LCD game, sort of like the juggling game that's in Super Mario Game & Watch, except they replaced the guy who's whack-a-moling the Vermin with Link. So, and for those who know what Game & Watch is, it's basically a very small handheld, which, you know, is just devoted to those games, right? And it's relatively inexpensive. I mean, you still get the Super Mario version for $44. So, is the Game & Watch system something that interests you?
Yeah, it's a cool collectible.
Yeah. It's also, by the way, for those who don't know, it's also a clock, which is why it's called Game & Watch.
I have the Mario one sitting on my shelf right behind me.
Okay.
And it's like one of... I really think that is cool, just as a whole. I think this next one is going to be even cooler, because like with the Mario Game & Watch, it has a clock in it, and there's Easter eggs that you can discover with it. They upgraded the clock and timer in this one, where you can actually fiddle with it and play with it a little bit, and actually control Link and the clock. So
you mean Mario and the clock?
No, for this next one.
Okay.
So I think it's interesting the way they sort of upgraded this from the last one.
Okay. Now you also have something that's slightly unexpected, Metroid Dread. But the thing that everybody is kind of salty about is the price. It's $60. They don't think it's a $60 game.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I was surprised it was a side-scroller, and that made me happy. I think Link's Awakening was $60, wasn't it? I can't quite remember. But Metroid Dread looks good to me, and I don't know. I guess it depends on how long the game is. I don't know how long it is, but it looks good.
Well, TJ, why are people annoyed that it's $60?
What is $60?
Metroid Dread.
They're annoyed at that? Really?
What? Yeah.
Aren't people annoyed at that?
Is it DLC? It's a downloadable game, I guess. It's a side-scroller.
It's a full Metroid game. Why are people mad at that?
Here's the thing. Other Metroid games have come out. I think Metroid Other M wasn't $60.
Yeah, but Metroid Other M... Oh, I don't know about that.
I'm pretty sure Samus Returns was $60.
This is a full Metroid game on the Nintendo Switch. Why would people think it wouldn't be $60?
Hey, look, I'm not the person who's complaining because I don't own a Switch.
Well, people are stupid then, and they should show it. This was the thing that I was hoping for. This was the thing that I came into E3 saying, please, give this to me. I want this.
Yes.
And, this is huge. This is the first time in a long time that we've gotten a brand new Metroid game. Mm-hmm. And it's a direct sequel to Metroid Fusion, which I freaking love Metroid Fusion. They're going for, the horror aspect a little bit, where, in Metroid Fusion, if you didn't know, there's a parasite that takes over Samus's armor, and it will chase you around the entire game and kill you if it catches you. And the whole premise of it is kind of like spooky. You have an approaching sense of dread at all times, which was also present in Super Metroid, if you ask me. And so to have this new game that kind of preserves that, and it's like a brand new Metroid game. No, fuck you. I'll pay $60 for that.
I know. It's like I see complaints that it's $60. What can I say?
You're always going to find someone that complains. You know, if you look hard enough, you'll find someone that wants to complain because that's what they do. You know, they want.
Well, I don't think it's like a complainer. I mean, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
It looks like a good game. You're being hunted by robots, and I want to play it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get it. Metroid Dread looks great.
So Fatal Frame Made in the Blackwater is going multi-platform, and I really don't care. It's just another ghost titty game. Okay. It's kind of hard to have a horror game in which the girls wear shorts so short, if they bend over even just the slightest, you'll get a panty shot. And if they get wet, it's a wet t-shirt contest. It's just, and the female ghosts have breasts the size of basketballs. It's not helping make me scared. It makes me want to laugh. But it's coming out for those of you who are interested in ghost titty photography games. Can you tell I'm down on it?
This is a re-release. It's not even a new Fatal Frame.
It's a remaster. Yes, I know. It's,
yeah.
Why would Nintendo? The point is, why would Nintendo care? It was also Xbox. It's going to be on Xbox. They just released a trailer for the Xbox version. It's like, it's 4 years old. Who cares?
They're also putting Doki Doki on the Switch so they can traumatize children now. With that.
The Devolver live stream was interminable. That framing thing that they did is just, they're trying to be over the top. It's like, stop, please. I don't care.
They're being a parody.
They're being a parody, but not a very funny one.
Well, I guess it worked. They sold the suit and they sold the tape.
Yeah, they sold the VHS tape. Whoop-de-doo. So, of the games, Trek to Yomi impressed me the most. It looks good. It's a side-scrolling beat-em-up, but it's done in a way that, I'm not going to say Limbo, but it's very monochromatic and evocative. And it's done by the people who did Shadow Warrior. What did you think of it?
It looks. This was another one with a really striking art style. It made me think of like a side-scrolling Ghost of Tsushima, and I kind of liked that.
And here's the thing: Devolver Digital does this kind of game. This is like your typical Devolver Digital. Oh, actually, not. Here's the thing: for a Devolver Digital game, it's pretty classy. Which is something you don't associate with Devolver Digital. When you think of Devolver Digital, you think of Miami Hotline or Ape Out or. But yeah, it looks good.
Yeah.
Yes.
It looks like you're a samurai.
Mm. Was there any game that you saw that you liked from Devolver Digital?
Yes, I liked Wizard with a Gun, and I think I liked Inscription.
Really? You liked Wizard with a Gun? Here's the thing. I just played a game in which you do the animal version of that. I mean, it's basically Rapture Rejects, except now with wizards. Oh, wait. No. You see, now I'm getting myself confused. I'm sorry. Wizard with a Gun is basically Don't Starve with Wizards, isn't it?
I guess. Oh, yeah. Inscription was that weird card game. That's what that was. Okay. I'm trying to remind myself what these things looked like, because there was so many things. I guess I didn't see it as like a Don't Starve, but...
There was a survival horror game that... Yeah, this is it. This is the... it's a co-op shooter, right? It's a survival sandbox. It's basically Don't Starve with wizards and guns. But a lot more colorful.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, the art style is very, very, very reminiscent of Don't Starve.
Except it's not black and white.
Yeah, and I know Demon Throttle is looks like it's the new Cuphead. And,
Demon
Throttle
looked
trying
funny.
To be.
It looked, first off, it looked funny, and second off, it looked like Gunsmoke, which I love Gunsmoke. On the NES.
Yeah. And, by the way, it's going for the full 8-bit recreation. I mean, yes. a lot of games are sort of like 8-bit, but this one includes all the flicker, all the audio problems, all the video problems that 8-bit games had. It had the, you heard those clicks, you know, those sort of like white noise clicks when every time something, you know, something in the graphics were there, and it's like, it feels like something that you'd played on the NES. Just more.
Yeah.
But you know what? Here's the other thing. It's going to be a physical-only game on the Switch.
Right. That's an interesting call. I don't understand why they do that.
I'm not sure if they're trying to do... Like I said, the whole thing felt like a parody, so I'm not sure if they're trying to play into that whole... It's a physical media only, so it's rarer to have.
I don't think it's because it's rarer to have. I just think they're going for the entire feel of buying a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
You gotta buy a cartridge, although in this case it's a thing.
Well,
it's
if they included a manual, then that
would... Oh, I'm pretty sure they are. I mean, they're going whole hog on the physical medium thing.
Yeah. I hope, like... It would be nice to think that it's just a gimmick, but given that it's Devolver, I doubt it's just a gimmick.
Well, you know, the people who did this is Doinksoft, and they did Gato Roboto. And Gato Roboto was a fun game. It was heartening back to the black and white Nintendo games. Did you see that? It's the cat which enters a mech.
Yes.
Okay. So let's move on to Wholesome Direct. Now, there's they showed off 75 games. Let's just we're not going to talk about the games we already know about, like Skatebird. We knew about Skatebird a while. Basically, it's done by this developer. She really loved Tony Hawk and decided to remake Tony Hawk except with a bird. And I know that TJ found it charming.
Yeah.
You too.
The game has been in development for, like, ever. I wonder when they're going to finally release it.
Well, they're releasing it this year. So, then they announced DLC for Ooblets, which is really strange because it really vastly departs from the Ooblets thing, in which they just go into full-on mini-games.
Yeah. Rolling on the... One of my favorite things from this whole thing was Pico.
It was a cat tea-making game.
Yes.
Pico.
Yeah,
That game looks awesomely relaxing.
The first game they showed was bizarre. Bird Problems. It was a bird sitcom.
Yes.
And here's the thing. It had a laugh track and really, really, really bad sitcom jokes. And I wasn't quite convinced it was deliberately bad. I couldn't tell if the jokes were deliberately that bad or if the writers just were not that funny. But it's an interesting concept in which you're playing a bird sitcom.
Yeah. Pico looked fun because it was like, yes, it was cute and the premise is fun, but it also looked just really relaxing because like the whole premise is like actually doing tea making techniques for cats. I also really enjoyed Coco Paw's Atlas because as much as like survival on a strange planet, or survival is done.
This one's more friendly.
This one did look more friendly. And the fact that, like, it's a procedurally generated world, but there are also NPCs that you can discover and befriend. It's got a lot of interesting sort of... you're a space cat that crash lands on a planet, and you have a little robot bird friend.
There's a lot of games that had a protagonist as a cat. There was a lot of cat games that they announced.
Yeah, they did. There was so many cats that like at my outfit.
There was Snacko, which was cat with Stardew Valley cats.
There were so many cats in E3 that we actually like. My outlet actually did an award for best cat.
Actually, there was a lot of Stardew games in this presentation too. There was Witchy Life, which was Stardew with witches. There was Bear and Breakfast, which was Stardew with bears.
I loved Bear and Breakfast. I want to play Bear and Breakfast with bears.
Well, I want to play Battle Cakes, which is a cupcake JRPG.
Cupcakes with machine guns.
Yeah, but it was done exactly as a JRPG.
Uh-huh.
I like the Hoa game. It's a puzzle platformer, and you look like you're jumping out a very lush-looking forest, interacting with various little animals and snails and other...
Which one was this?
Hoa, H-O-A.
Oh, right, because there's another one, Kiwi, in which you're doing the same thing, except you're a Kiwi.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like a really beautiful game, and I do seem to like platformers a lot. The other one I liked was Witchwood, which is being described as a crafting adventure game set at an expressive land of gothic fables and fairy tales. I just liked the look of it. It looked really nice.
What about Paparazzi, in which it's basically Pokemon Snap, but with dogs?
I know, that was cool. One of these, I think it was Alcon, that you could take a picture of a dragon. Aculon.
Not sure.
Yeah, Aculon. I think that was the one where it looked like a dragon was flying, and you took pictures of it. This one had like four different camera games.
Did y'all see Rainbow Billy?
No.
So Rainbow Billy is like, it's kind of like Cuphead. It's got sort of that rubber band slapstick.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one.
And the whole point is like the world is like drained of color and it's all black and white and you have to like bring color back to the world. That game.
There was another game that was like that in the Xbox show too. The Xbox indie show.
This one has Colorful Tale.
So yeah, I think that was it. Yeah.
This one had like that Cuphead style of animation. It had platforming. It had like looked like turn-based battle. It kind of looks like if Cuphead and Paper Mario were a thing.
Well, here's the thing: they adopt the old 50s Japanese aesthetic.
Right. I really
what's the name of that thing? About that robot boy. Oh, jeez, I forgot. I can't believe I forgot.
Astro Boy.
Yeah, it has that Astro Boy vibe to it.
I really liked it. I feel like I'm going to be watching this one for a while. I like the look of it.
Yeah. There was also... everybody was really excited over Power Lives, which is basically... I don't know. It's sort of like The Sims, but it's more focused on architecture.
Yeah, I remember that. It's like they're coming for The Sims money, and it was really good-looking building...
It was simpler to build. Not simpler to build. See, in The Sims, you can only make, right angles and all that stuff. Paralives really gets into, doing a lot of like, oh, you want this curve here, and we'll do this, that sort of thing.
Hmm.
But here's the thing. I don't know if it's like The Sims, because I don't know if they actually, you actually have people living in it. It gave me the vibe of just you're building the house and that's it.
There was one that was like, it was an indie that was not on the Wholesome Direct. It actually was on the Future Games Show after PC Gaming Show, and it was like the one good thing I saw from that. It was actually on the PC Gaming Show. It was Sacrifier.
Okay.
It's very early, they're starting a Kickstarter for it. You know how, like, Scott loves Aiden Chronicles because it looks a lot like Suikoden? Sacrifier hits me because it looks... It's 2D characters and 3D environments, which we've seen, but it strikes me in the same way that Xenogears does. And it looks like one that I, like, really, really want to play because it looks like 2D characters and the 3D environments and the JRPG battles... look like you do martial arts in them, and I love the look of it so far.
Yeah. One game that I actually became very, very interested in was Lake, in which you play a mail carrier, and only because it sort of reminded me a little bit of Bus Simulator, except I started to realize, actually, no, this is Coffee Talk, or Valhalla, whichever one you want to do, in which you play, you have this job, but you speak to people, and you keep returning to them, and you're following their lives, which is what happens in Coffee Talk and Valhalla. Have you played either of those games?
I have not.
You should try Hot Coffee Talk. It's kind of fun. Because in that, you play a barista. And the ending... Here's the thing. I was sure what the game was about until the ending of Coffee Talk, when you meet the final customer for the final time, and it's like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they're justifying everything in the game, including save scumming and loading and trying different sections over and over again. They actually explain it in-universe, which was a shock to me. It's like, holy shit. I this game is a lot deeper than I thought it was. I also sort of like Spirit Swap, which is basically oh, damn it. What's it called? You know, the fast version of a match 3 game, you know, in which it's an action match 3.
Mm.
Bejeweled Smash, I think it's called. Oh, wait. What do you call it again? Bejeweled Smash or the action one in which you have a timer? Blitz. Bejeweled Blitz, that's right. So it's basically Bejeweled Blitz, except you have witches and they have special abilities. That was Spirit Swap.
Okay.
Also, Yokai Inn looks like a nice little life sim.
That one looks good too, yeah.
Any others? They had a lot of cooking games. They had Hot Pot for one and Soup Pot, which are the same game, damn it.
Soup Pot actually is like a full-on cooking simulator. There's actually going to be like 500 ingredients that you can interact with.
Wow.
There's going to be, like, you can actually save recipes from that game. It's going to be, that one is actually, like, intriguing me, because, like, I am into any game that can double as an actual cookbook.
Hmm. There's also Moonglow Bay, which is basically a restaurant game. And I've played a few of those, in which, you know, you develop your recipes, and you know, but you're running a restaurant. So, and also there's Lottle Knot, which was the last game they showed, which struck me as Subnautica meets Luigi's Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that one, Scott?
Yes, I did. it's an interesting combination there, Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
Ooh, how do you spell this damn thing?
What? How do you spell what damn thing?
Obelot. I don't know how to spell that word. OBC.
Ooblets.
Okay. Ooblets.
Yeah, that was released a while ago, but they came out with new DLC for it.
Right, okay.
There's one game that was a lot different than the other games, because a lot of these games are really small indie games, right? They're sort of like the $5, $6, $8 games, right? The one game that was really big was Tasamachi, which is an RPG, which actually came out already. Have you seen it?
I have not seen this one.
Yeah. It actually was released. I was surprised to find out it was released in April. But it's JRPG, and it's kind of like a really big game compared to the rest of these games.
It looked like they had a lot of platforming, I think, if that's the one I remember.
Yeah, it's an action RPG.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great. It's very Eastern style, so yeah. Actually,
I like the flying elements of Tasamachi. I didn't so much like the elements when you were walking around off the ship and platforming. Mm. They look kind of janky. The flying element looks fun and interesting. The running around thing is
So, anyways, there was one other game. There were two games, actually, that were called. One was Letters. It was really interesting because you were helping a girl write these letters, and you take a word and you just plop it. And one of the words was cats, and you kept on playing cats over and over again. And these cats started plopping on other cats, plopping on other cats. And one of the last things that one of the cats says is, "Wow, you really couldn't get this right," or some really bad puns. But yeah. Anyways, so overall, what did you think of this year's E3?
I thought it was decent and entertaining.
It had a lot of things that I enjoyed, and at the same time, I kind of felt like, I don't know, a part of me thinks that this was lackluster and unnecessary, because there's nothing that was stopping all of these groups from doing their showcases on their own.
Here's the thing. by the way, one thing I read was that this was before the Nintendo Direct thing, right? Someone wrote that it's like everybody but Microsoft and Bethesda looked like they forgot their homework.
Gearbox especially. They like freaking repeated the homeworld thing so many times. Like, what are you doing? What is this for? Bandai Namco had one game for their entire showcase.
Well, to be fair, Elden Rings was being shown everywhere else. So it's like, they weren't going to show it again. And I don't know what they could have added except maybe a developer interview, and I don't think they wanted to do that.
Yeah, it's just... Like, there was a lot of this, though, that, like, I didn't feel like any of these organizations couldn't have done on their own without having to buy into E3. Like, it didn't feel like E3. It didn't feel like there was anything in particular that made E3 all that special.
Well, here's the thing, TJ.
It was just a whole bunch of presentations and showcases packed into a very short amount of time.
Well, here's the thing, TJ. Could you imagine if you were on assignment for Shaq News... And they said, okay, we're going to have you cover Resident Evil Reverse. So you get to sit in that thing for an hour and listen to, and then have you play it.
Yeah, well, if I did that, then at least I would, if I was in person doing that event, then at the very least I'd have other journalists to be like, how shitty was that?
But you're doing that now.
It would be, yeah, I am, but...
But instead of 10 minutes, you have to do it for an hour. And that's an hour you will never get back.
I still just feel like there's nothing in particular here that warranted E3's existence.
Well, except for the Microsoft Bethesda thing. But
really, though, like, what was to stop Microsoft and Bethesda from just one day being... And in fact, they did do that because they were like, hey, guess what? We're going to do also Xbox Games Showcase Extended.
Yeah, Zanzi. Exactly. And you know what? I hope they do that from now on, in which they just ditch all the people talking about the thing and just have it as a separate show.
I just think that, like...
Oh, shit. You know what? We forgot to talk about Replaced. That was the game... The pixel art game that was shown by Microsoft. Sure, you saw it. It's sort of like that other game that was a cyberpunk game as well. You remember Replaced? The game? No? Okay, well, I guess it wasn't that memorable to you. Anyways.
In any case, like, did I see things during this quote-unquote E3 that I liked? Yes, absolutely. I was so happy to see Metroid Dread. And there was a whole ton of other indie games that I added to my wish list. And there was a bunch of stuff that was really cool, and I was really happy for my colleagues to see that they were excited for.
Okay, so here's the thing. We're gonna do this question. We're going to do some questions. Okay, first things first. What is the game you're most looking forward to? Not the one that... Here, okay, let me reverse this. What was the game that surprised you the most that you had no idea was there and are now interested in seeing?
Redfall was the one that was most surprising to me.
Okay, I would have to say Redfall too. Scott?
I mean, most surprised...
The biggest surprise that you didn't expect.
I mean, there were a lot of games I didn't expect.
Well, one of them had to be the one that you're most interested in finding out more about.
Right. I guess it's a little hard to frick.
Go with your gut.
I want to say Metroid Dread. I really.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't expect it. I hoped that it'd be there, and I'm very interested in it. I want to get more.
Yep. That was a close second for me. The only thing that kept it from being a first was the fact that we had leaks before, that we had rumors beforehand that were.
Well, we had rumors about Redfall, but everybody got it wrong. They assumed that Redfall was going to be the subtitle of Elder Scrolls 6.
Oh, I didn't see the rumors about Redfall.
Yeah, like, Scott knows this. They thought it was going to be Elder Scrolls 6 Redfall, and it was going to deal with the Redguard.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
But
I guess, yeah, I mean, they're focusing on Starfield, so I'm... Real, I didn't expect to see anything on Elder Scrolls, so once Starfield is done, they'll talk about Elder Scrolls 6.
Okay. So, what was the game that you already knew about that you are even more hyped for after seeing it? TJ?
Metroid Dread.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Like, the rumors alone were, like, to me, sort of a little bit of a spoiler for it, because, like, I was expecting to see something Metroid, but...
I think that the actual name of the game was also, I think, a bit of a surprise, too.
To actually see it, and see it in action, and then see a release date was an absolute delight.
How about you, Scott? What was the... we already know the answer, so forget it. See, you didn't chronicle 100 Heroes. We already know the answer to that. Unless you want to contradict that, Scott.
Well, I mean, the Breath of the Wild 2 did actually...
Oh, yeah.
...hype me. They looked like they showed new stuff. And I'm pretty much max hype on IDUM Chronicles. I probably should have said Final Fantasy Pixel Remastered. That one really surprised me, because I really didn't think we were going to get remasters of those.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some good games that I'm really interested in. Like, I didn't expect Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm really interested in that.
Well, that's my next question, so hold on. Okay, so for me, it was Halo Infinite, because... like a lot of people, I was mediocre. Although I'm going to tie that with Battlefield 2042, because Battle 2042 was a game I had no interest in, and now I do have a good deal of interest in. So, what was the game that surprised you most?
Surprise? We did that one.
No. Surprised as in you didn't think it was going to be that good. I mean, Scott already gave his answer on that.
Oh, okay.
Well, repeat your answer, Scott.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
I didn't expect that game at all.
I mean, games you know. By the way, I'm a big fan of Orcs Must Die, and it's not a surprise to me. I'm just glad that I'm getting more Orcs Must Die. Because I played the first two.
Elden Ring, I suppose. Because I didn't expect them to actually announce a launch date for that. Yeah.
I would say 2 Point Campus. That was a big surprise to me, finding out it existed. And, you know, I enjoyed 2 Point Hospital, and now we're going to have Hogwarts and other stuff inside. For those who don't know, 2 Point Campus is going to... You're building a school, but it's like all these different types of schools. You have a wizard school, you have a superhero school, you have this school, you have that school. So, anyways... Yeah, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. If you enjoy feedback, please leave comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Jesus, I screwed that all up. Look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at Facebook. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Fuck, you know, I screwed that up too. Look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with the industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy feedback, so leave comments on our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us iTunes comments. By the way, for some reason, the site, we can't leave comments on gamingpodcast.net. So I've been including links to the Facebook page where people can leave comments. It's really annoying. And I keep on talking to WordPress, and they don't seem to be able to help. So, yeah. Anyways, as for me, you know, I really liked what I saw this E3, despite the games that sort of made me roll my eyes hard. I know a lot of people are excited about Among Us being the Xbox. I was like, oh, whatever. I don't care. You go play that game. Go ahead. I'll continue to play Town of Salem. Anyways, you will hear from us next week. Hopefully there'll be more news next week.
Yep.
You can find me on Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
I'm at Johnny Chucks.
You can find me at Shard Ramore.
And we will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.
And that is a, 3-hour episode. Well, guess what? We were worth it, damn it.
Yeah, hooray. That was fun.
Take care, y'all. Have a good day.
Yeah, take care.
Bye-bye.